I'm Alexander Agunis. Welcome to No Direction, an Everyman Gaming special event, Season's Beatings, a Yuletide Terror actual play podcast. I've gathered Louise, Param, Jason, and Vanessa together to experience the joy and magic of the holidays in a way that only Pathfinder players can, in deadly combat against horrifying monsters. In Season's Beatings, I'm going to be running these fine players through Yuletide Terror, a holiday adventure that I wrote for Everyman Gaming LLC. Without further ado, let's return to Yuletide Terror. When last we met, you had managed to successfully survive riding a train on top, most of you. And then you stormed what the remains of what looked like Crindlework Square and beat a giant angry tree. And it all culminated in your delightful trek up the hill. So when we last met, you were talking about using Atros, the Book of Marvelous Recipes that you found in the wreckage of the train, to make yourselves a hero's feast. But after looking over the rules, it turns out that you need to actually have food stuff in order to use that book. So what are you going to do about that? Do you have any food on you, Renori?
I used to have food.
Yeah.
In my bag of holding.
Oh, you mean that bag of holding that the GM hasn't given you back yet?
Well, I mean, it's, sorry, my handy haversack. I have my handy haversack back. It's just empty.
Yeah, I mean, it's
that raises some serious questions about the metaphysical formations of this pocket dimension.
Yeah. While you were trekking up here, you noticed that there really wasn't any food. So, or like game animals. It's pretty lifeless. Biddle, give me a check to see if you can figure out anything that might help you.
So I got a 21 to know if there's any food anywhere nearby, perhaps, in this part of the area.
Maybe, well, Christmas you candy. You do know that the Crindle Works has a fully stocked kitchen that Mrs. Crindle would often bake in. Mm-hmm. So if there's any place that's going to have food, it's probably the Crindle Works.
But then we have to go in.
You do.
We can eat snow, right? We can just survive on snow.
Yeah, but I don't think you can make a hero's feast out of snow.
Maybe.
I still have this spare candy cane sword.
But then maybe... you will have a sword, won't you?
Yeah, this is the spare.
Yeah.
Maybe we can go full Lost Boys in Hook and just pretend we're eating a meal and enjoy it.
Well, we have candy canes, and we have, and we have snow. That is the ingredients for snow cream.
Oh, man.
I think I'd prefer something warmer.
Then I guess you're going to have to go up the... thing. Guess you're going to have to go up the hill.
All right.
Up the hill. So with a new goal in mind of filling their stomachs, you trudge up the hill. And when you get to the top, snow, wind, and sleet howl across what was once a beautiful, well-kept courtyard. Once meticulously pruned, coniferous trees and shrubs litter the grounds around a small pond, which is frozen over. A fountain of singing ravens stands in the middle of the pond that has been smashed, and countless other pieces of art and festive decorations have likewise been destroyed. A large set of reinforced darkwood doors stands at the far end of the grounds, the words Crindleworks mounted in brass upon them. And as you approach, a set of figures walks out of the ice. They look like humanoid figures with crowns of blue ice on their heads, and they are riding what look to be like very angry, very feral-looking reindeer.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Biddle, mm-hmm. Are these friends?
I think so. Another lore check? Ooh, much worse.
You have never heard nor seen of anything like this inside of the Crindleworks.
I don't know. Probably not.
But with that, you guys already gave me initiatives because you're great. And it turns out that one of them rolled a natural 20 for initiative. So he's going to pull out a nice big blue crystal ice horn and blow it loudly. The sound reverberates in your bones and makes you feel really cold. But other than that, it doesn't really seem to do anything to you other than just be really loud. With that, it's Rangvald's turn. Do you want to give me a knowledge nature to try to learn more about these things?
I would love to do that.
Excellent. Give me a knowledge nature check.
All right. That is a... What is all my stuff? All right. 30.
Oh, right. With a 30, you get a grand total of 3 questions about these creatures. You know that they are called Cold Riders.
Okay. All right. I take it they're probably Are they vulnerable to warm and fire and all that good?
Not only are they vulnerable to fire and heat, they're also vulnerable to sonic attacks, and to the point where if you know the shatter spell, you can actually shatter parts of their body.
Oh, interesting. Does anyone know the shatter spell?
Yeah, I know about that spell.
I know about the shatter thing. Know about it. But I don't need a spell to do it.
Fair enough. Do they have any special attack? What did that horn do? Do I know what that horn did? Besides alert everybody?
I think you don't. So I'm going to take that as any special abilities related to like horns. You think that it was a horn just to alert them because you don't know of any horn based powers that they have.
Terrific.
You do know, however, that they have the ability to conjure weapons and armor out of ice. With the cold one who makes them dies, they melt back into water. And they have a special ability called ice walking, where they can walk across ice without penalty. They can move across snow without being impeded. And they can move across any icy surface as if they were under the effects of spider climb. And they also confer those bonuses to any creature they ride.
Okay. And their resistances, I assume, are immune to cold and...
Yeah. They are also partially resistant to magic.
Oh.
Oh, no. Okay.
Be careful, everyone.
All right, it's your turn. You know that they're fey.
Okay, terrific. Gosh, I will move up to this one here and to the south, just staying close to the hedge wall here. Mm-hmm. I will. I can't remember how many things I have.
All of them.
I have all the things. Okay, I have my secret word ability. I'm gonna bane it up. I'm the little fey bane.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a power attack with a book.
Power attack with a book.
Power attack with a holy book. Oh, and then I rolled a natural one, so forget all that.
So you go and you hit it, and the book clanks against its ice, and like some ice breaks off from its armor. And then, like, from atop his mount, he just like looks down at you, and you realize that like you hit him in the boot, and then the ice just immediately just reforms.
Excuse me, sir.
All right, I'm gonna get my big old greatsword, step up to between the hedges here, using my lunge feet, and cleave into both of them with a power attack.
Okay.
First attack. Oh.
Are you doing it to the one that's closer to the house, or the one that's closer to you first?
I'm going to do the one to the south, the one that that Ringwald tried to smash with a book. But
gotcha.
But unfortunately, I think it's the similar results because I only got a 23 to hit.
You hit him.
Hey.
Oh, okay.
Hey.
All right. And that is going to be...
It turns out that ice armor is really cool and all. Appreciate my pun. Appreciate it. But it also turns out that in addition to being very cool, it's not very sturdy. So, like, you just needed a little more oomph there, Ragnvald.
All right. So well, it is... Yeah. So it's plus 9 plus... so that's 33 points of damage on the first one.
Ow.
Oh. Mm-hmm. And I rolled a 36 to hit the second one.
Yeah, that'll do it. Congratulations.
Ow.
8 plus. And the 30 damage on the second one.
They appear to have taken all of that, and their ice looks cracked. It's very sad. So with that, the doors in the back fly open. And a creature steps out that looks pretty much exactly like this. It appears to be a really old, horrific-looking woman covered in spines of ice and ragged-looking clothing. Mm-hmm. And she shouts, "Who trespasses on the realm of my master? I shall freeze you!" But it seems like that took all of her actions. So it's now Renori's turn.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Renori, if you want to know anything about the Cold Riders, that's Knowledge Nature. And the woman in the back is Knowledge Arcana.
That one I can do.
Or wait, Dungeoneering. No, wait. Nature. She's a monstrous humanoid. I'm sorry. I will give you Knowledge Arcana, though, because of what she is.
Great. Arcana. Here we go. 30.
She is a hag, specifically a winter hag.
Hmm.
With a 30, you're going to get a total of 3 questions about her.
Well, what are some special abilities that she can do?
Oh, she's got plenty. The first is that once a week she can perform a ritual that creates a staff made out of black ice that functions as a +2 frost quarterstaff. Considering that she is carrying said staff, she has probably already completed this ritual. And her other special ability that's really cool, she gets the she has all of the same abilities they do. She can ice walk. She also can see in snowy conditions and does not take penalties on perception checks while in snowy conditions. She could unleash a horrifying breath weapon that not only deals buckets of cold damage, but it also blinds people who fail their reflex save against it because you get blinded by torrential blizzard force winds coming out of her mouth, which is great. It's really, really great, guys. The other thing is that it's pretty much impossible to be invisible around them because they can always see things that are invisible. That's right. One question. You get two more.
What resistances or immunities does she have?
She's immune to cold, she is resistant to spells, and she is vulnerable to fire.
Okay. I don't know if I didn't ask for vulnerability, but thank you. What's that?
Well, you know that she's vulnerable to fire because it comes in a package with the cold part. She has the cold subtype.
Okay. Does she have any kind of damage reduction?
Yes, but you don't think it'll be too much of a problem for Ornn. She's got DR against magic.
Oh, there you go. And I know I only get three questions, but fourth questions. Where does she go in initiative?
Right after Ornn. That was her turn, opening the door and moving to the door to open it.
Well, would you like to place her on the initiative?
I absolutely will. Okay. The other thing that you know is that she can channel the dark power of her staff in order to blast a giant area with cold.
Boy. Okay.
With all this in mind, I'm going to add her to the initiative.
I will use my 5-foot step to start hiding behind one of the hedges here. And I will begin casting a spell, and absolutely. I'll see you in one round.
All right, I'll see you in one round, as long as you're alive. Biddle, you're up.
All right, well, since these guys are made of ice, and she doesn't like fire, that means one thing. Wand of Fireball.
So okay.
With a flick of Biddle's wrist, one of her spring-related wrist sheaths brings that Wand of Fireball into her hand, and okay. She flicks it into the courtyard.
That's a caster level 7 Wand of Fireball, right?
It is caster level 9.
All right, you need to give me a caster level check with a +9 bonus to use the wand. Not to use the wand, but to affect that with it.
With a +9, I rolled a 13, so that's going to be a 22.
You do it. You beat all of their spell resistances.
Woohoo!
All right, so I think I'm going to place it just sort of outside so it doesn't hit the building, but it definitely hits her and it hits the two ice people, and it's going to burn probably a bunch of these hedges down.
All right, so if it's Fireball, the minimum level to cast that would be, it's a DC 14, we said, right?
What's that? It's a 1, so it's a DC 20 use magic device. I only need a 5 on die. Oh. I rolled a 6, so that's pretty good.
I forgot that you needed to roll to use that. I was talking about the reflex save DC.
Oh, yeah. Reflex save DC, not listed. But yeah, it's low. It's 14.
Oh, right. They appear to be used to dodging fire, and they all dodge fire. So they save, but then you're going to take your damage, you're going to have it, and then we're going to multiply it by 50%.
Sounds
enjoy.
Great. And we're looking at 24 points, so that'll go down to 12 and increase back up to 18.
Yeah, they don't like that. They scream, ah, the heat! It burns us all!
And then Biddle will run forward, wand in hand, to stand in front of these big jerks.
Excellent.
And we're not big jerks.
No, the big icy...
No, we're small jerks.
Not you, Ornn.
We're the littlest jerks.
Well, you're medium jerks.
Medium jerks, yeah.
All right, so the first thing that's going to happen is that this cold rider up here, who is actually really slow on the uptake, is like, ah! Are you still holding that wand?
Yeah, I've got the wand in one hand, and my other hand's basically free, but it's wearing that candy-shaped cestus.
You bear, you are in the way of my striking the larger bear. Crumble before me. So he's going to take his big, scary-looking ice glaive and start smacking you with it.
Sounds good.
30.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And 12.
12 to hit, we'll miss.
Yeah, that's a 12 to hit. All right, so you take a nice gore, or a nice, not gore, but a nice glaive to the face. That's going to be 8 points of slashing damage.
Miss.
And 5 of cold damage.
But it misses.
All right. So they shout, "What sorcery is this? There is a bubble around this bear."
You're made out of ice and snow. What? Why is this so surprising? It's a world of magic.
Do not worry, my comrade. I shall pierce her bubble with my glaive. And the other one starts attacking Biddle. I don't think that hits. That's a 14.
Nope, not even close. Bring it, big ice meanie.
Is only a 15. Ah, what sorcery? You are correct. Rangvald, you're up.
All right. I'll take another round of Feybane, and I'll do a double power attack now that we're got all this good flanking for me. Bonuses.
As you take your buck to strike him, he goes, "Stay down, knave child. You are not fit to kiss my boot, let alone hit it with your stories."
I just glare at him with as mean of a face as my baby face can muster. Alrighty. Let's see, 19.
Is that with the bonus from being Bane for an extra plus two?
Oh, no, 21 then.
You hit, that's the number.
Hooray, that's the number. Woof, woofty. Alrighty, and then let's do that. 7, 14 plus 7, 21 points. That's with the Bane damage.
Okay.
And bludgeoning, obviously. Magic. It is magic. It's still a magic book.
Yes.
And then a little better than that. Like a 22.
A 22 will hit.
Yep. And a damage. Ooh, less damage. Only 14 that time.
With that, you manage to like slam him really good in his shin, and an ice crack goes all the way, like forms and goes all the way up to his chest, and he looks like he's not doing too good. Magic energy is just leaking out, and it doesn't seem like his special powers or whatever is letting him regenerate his armor is like working to seal this crack.
Mm-hmm.
Orin, you're up.
Okay. I'm gonna lunge through Biddle.
Okay.
Biddle ducks.
Excuse me. And just like push my head down on top of the plush bear and then just like jump up on her and just like slash with my sword. Okay, I'm gonna do a double slash power attack on the one that that's what I'm gonna do. Double slash power attack on the one that Rangvald had successfully cracked.
Sure.
Pinch him off.
Alright, first one. 24.
That hits. Why don't you give me damage for that one?
All right. 34 damage.
It crumbles and dies, leaving behind this horrible husk of a creature that quickly blackens as if from centuries of frostbite.
Ooh.
And then I'm going to cleaving finish into the second one.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I need to roll to confirm my critical hit.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
I rolled something in... almost 40, 38.
Yeah!
A 48 will totally confirm that number.
Another 3, another 2, so that's 14 plus... it's 13 plus 42 is 50... 55 damage.
You carry over the momentum from your destruction of the last one, and you slam the other one directly in its chest cavity, piercing through it and slamming right into its fell heart. It instantly shatters into 1,000 pieces.
Yay! Thanks, Biddle.
Wow.
Wow.
I then get off of Biddle because I don't want to squish the teddy bear too much.
Oh my god.
She yells, "You interlopers have destroyed my minions! I will freeze you alive!" And with that, like as she's screaming, she breathes in a massive breath and just a blizzard comes out of her mouth.
I was afraid of this.
How far did the breath go?
Oh, she's got to move closer than that. Yeah. It's like there. She does not see Renori, so it hits everyone but Renori.
Okay.
So all y'all need to give me reflex saves.
No!
Yikes! Not bad. Not bad that time.
20.
Oh, goodness. 20 will pass.
21, then.
That will also pass.
15! I mean,
a 15 will fail.
Oh, no.
So... let's see, roll some damage. Oh, that was really low. It was not a very good blizzard. So, Param, you take 6 damage, the rest of you take 3.
Oh boy.
And Param, you are blinded for 6 rounds.
Oh, that's the rough part.
Yeah.
Oh no.
She looks like she huffed and puffed, and that wasn't her very best breath, so she looks like she might recuperate from that attack fairly quickly. But that's her turn. It's now Renoria's turn. Renoria, you were spared the brunt of that attack.
Yes, thankfully, because I need to finish casting Enlarge Person.
Oh boy.
Who are you enlarging?
We need the big bear.
The big blind bear.
Oh, yes! This is the best day ever.
So, the sensation of enlarging while you're blinded is a very unsettling one. Because it feels like your whole body is stretching. You might not even notice it if, like, you didn't start, like, ramming up against these hedges. And you can feel them as you are moving above them, and therefore their pressure is moving down your leg. To the point where, like, they are probably about, like, they went from being taller than you to probably being at around, like, your mid-thigh lower knee, like, upper knee. So, like, it's like, oh, this is a very strange feeling.
Anyway, that was just the beginning of my turn.
Oh, no.
Because that's how the one-round casting works. Luckily for me, I also prepared Remove Blindness Deafness.
What? Man, save the day, Renori.
And in fact, I don't even have to move. All of a sudden, this big boy is a lot easier to touch than me from here. So use my casting and remove blindness deafness, and I just kind of I will take a 5-foot step before I do so, and then I point at the hag and I say, get her.
And so basically as you do this, like, his face is covered in rime that's like frozen his eyelids over, and that just like evaporates, and you can open up your eyes and see again. It's a great feeling. Also, you're ginormous.
I'd like to add that as that ice mask fades, there is just the most gleeful smile underneath it.
Oh my gosh.
All right, Biddle, you're up.
I want to see what the big bear can do. Biddle is going to delay until after Ornn.
All right, well, that guy is dead. That guy is dead. It is now Rangvald's turn.
Yeah, I almost don't want to get in the way either.
I mean, you could also delay, and then by the time
what I'm gonna do is I'm going to kind of drop the book a little bit and have it, you know, it hangs down. It's kind of attached to a little chain, so it just hangs down at my hip, and pull out this bow and arrow that I have, because I do have some. It's +1 seeking short bow with holy arrows, mm-hmm. +1 holy arrow. So I'm gonna shoot an arrow. I'm gonna shoot a shot.
Sounds good.
Natural 19, so that's like a 27.
That hits her right in her chest.
All right. Is she evil?
She is very evil, actually. All right,
that's going to do an extra 2d6 of damage.
She doesn't like this.
That's what you get for being evil. That's 10 points of damage.
She shouts, "Ah, the touch of Saint Nicholas!"
Feel Odin's wrath.
Now it's Ornn's turn.
All right, so I'm going to just, like, step my big bear pajama feet over top of my friends as I walk on forward. I just need to get on the other side of them, and I'm close enough because I've got lunge, so I've got reach and the extra big reach for being extra big.
Oh, my gosh.
Big boy.
And then I'm going to go ahead and just do a Vital Strike power attack on her.
Oh,
fantastic.
I'm going to roll to confirm the critical hit.
Oh my gosh.
No. This is why having a keen candy sword is the best. Okay, 35?
Well, that definitely crits. That definitely crits her.
Wow. Yeah. All right, so what's the damage size of a large greatsword? Is that 3d6?
3d6.
Yeah. 3d6 goes to 3d6.
Okay. So all you right, got so... 9d6, I think?
Yeah. You vital strike, so the 3d6 doubles to 6d6, and then you get an extra 3d6. Because the 3d6 from vital strike doesn't double.
Correct.
Yep.
That's Alex's rule of
life
today.
Ha! Vital Strike is awesome. It's totally underrated. Actually, I really appreciate this character because I feel like Ornn's entire build is feats that the general community underrates, and he just smashes everything in this adventure.
Okay, so I got 20 total damage on the dice.
Okay.
It's a Vital Strike power attack. So the Vital Strike's been taken care of. The power attack adds +9 to my already... Where is it at here? Where is my damage? Oh, there it is. So my already 13 damage, so that turns it into 22 damage, and that gets doubled to 44 damage, plus the 20 on the dice is 64 damage.
Right. Very nice.
Well, she's not getting up.
Never mind.
She, yeah, you just cleave her in half with your giant candy cane sword.
Quickly, charge before they can mount a defense.
So these doors are wide open.
Mm-hmm. Biddle starts running forward.
Same.
All right. So you go inside.
Follow me. I know the way.
I'm going to fee-fa-fo right behind her.
Boom, boom. Actually, this part of the building seems designed so that, like, you still have to duck a little, but you're definitely not squeezing. Mm-hmm. Like, it seems that maybe St. Nicholas is used to having very large guests. So, yeah. It makes sense considering, you know, that he had a dragon who worked with him, apparently.
He just lets those reindeer just roam the halls.
Totally. So, a large fireplace stands cold in this long hallway, the stone walls bare of any decoration. A large chandelier above houses hundreds of candles that blaze with azure light, giving this room an unsettlingly blue hue. Closed doors to the east, west, and north are marred with bloody glyphs resembling a goat's eye. So, there is a small door here, right in front of you to the north. My thing isn't clicking. This is weird. I don't have the clicker on. That would do it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's a small door that looks like it's sized for medium creatures here. There is a set of large double doors here.
To our right?
To your right, and another set to your left.
Okay.
Biddle knows that to the left is where the kitchen would be.
Let's go make sure the kitchen is safe. So she'll open those doors as soon as she gets there. She's just, like, running forward ahead of everyone else to get there as fast as possible.
All right. So you open the kitchen doors. Countless pots, pans, and well-stocked cabinets line the walls of this bright and cheery kitchen space, which has been meticulously painted in warm, inviting tones. An icebox large enough to hold several trolls stands towards the western end of the room, and hundreds of plates of gingerbread cookies in various sizes and shapes line nearly every available bit of counter space in the world.
Cookies.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. All right, but no creatures?
Doesn't seem to be, just cookies.
All right, the Biddle immediately starts moving forward to the other set of doors, and soon as Orin is behind her, she will open those up.
As you walk in, as you all walk in, I was just reading, sorry. As you all walk in, you kind of feel like this weird sense of, like, giddy excitement come over you. At the sight of literally thousands of cookies. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There are also glasses of milk that seem to be all along the place. If you have profession baker, you could try to identify it.
Renori?
Sorry, could you repeat that?
If you have profession baker, you could try to identify any of the things in this room that you want that are cookie related.
Okay. Where's my baker? I didn't get very well. 13.
They all look like delicious gingerbread cookies. The milk appears to be goat's milk rather than cow's milk.
It's pretty normal.
Yeah, but I don't know if I trust any cookies from here.
You see Rangvald just sort of like staring at those cookies like he's going to eat one. Uh-huh. Unless someone says something. He's going to like move over here and be like,
I'm not going to stop Rangvald from eating a delicious cookie.
I've got my hand on the cookie. I'm picking it up.
Okay, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I personally wouldn't let you
go. Well, why not? They're good. Mm-hmm. All right, I won't eat one.
We have to make sure it's safe. We're charging into a fortress. I mean, a workshop.
Sorry. I was overcome.
I detect magic.
You can eat cookies when we come back and make breakfast.
You detect magic. What are you looking at?
The cookies and the milk in particular.
The milk appears to be non-magical. The cookies also appear to be normal. Give me a will save, Renori.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a typical thing that happens when I look at a normal cookie.
I mean, it happens when I look at any sort of dessert.
19.
With a 19, that's a really good number. So you're staring at them and the cookies look normal. And then you realize, like, the longer you look at it, like, there's weird faint magic on at pretty much every cookie in this room, at least that are on these plates. Give me a spellcraft check.
I will definitely do so. That's a 22.
So you realize that each of these cookies is imbued with a polymorphic panacea spell, or polypurpose panacea spell, and that if you were to eat a cookie, you would fall asleep for an hour without being able to do anything about it.
Smack the cookie out of it.
Hey, that's not nice. There's those plenty of cookies. You can share.
No, those are nap cookies. They put you to sleep, and then we'll get caught.
You do that. I was overcome.
The cookie hits the ground, And then the cookie stands up. On its,
what?
And then all around the room, cookies start standing up.
What?
And as the cookies start standing up, they all join together and they form a giant swarm of cookies.
No.
And then in the corner, what looked like an ordinary pot bursts open and a small-sized goat made out of gingerbread arises out of it.
Ugh.
What?
And then this door opens up and a woman that looks kind of like Mrs. like she's wearing Mrs. Claus's lingerie comes in and says, lingerie? You! Yeah, not lingerie, I meant clothing.
It's very different words, Alex.
Lingerie is a very specific kind of clothing.
She's wearing like a really big bust red like gown.
Here's and, Alex. What's that word for the thing you wear? Oh, lingerie, that must be it.
So I want to point out, I said lunch, and I said that's completely the wrong thing.
Oh, I said laundry. You don't really wear laundry.
You guys took it to that. But so she comes in and she screams, "You naughty brats will pay for casting off my cookies." And then her jaw dislocates. Yeah. And it's very large and very unsettling. I have a picture for you.
There you go. Oh, good Lord. Oh.
Ah, that is horrible.
Yeah,
and she's wearing lingerie, you said?
she's incredibly sexy, you said? Oh, I believe.
Okay.
You people, what am I going to do with you?
I think did eat one of those cookies, and they were special cookies, if you know what I mean.
I think you're going to have a roll initiative is what you're going to do with it.
Yeah, absolutely. You guys.
Oh, definitely.
Go roll me some initiative. Well, I'm so excited for this fight. This fight is the greatest.
It's something.
Something crazy over here.
I'm just glad we have large, not blind Orn.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I very much appreciate not being blind. MVP
every time I prepare blindness, I also prepare remove blindness, deafness, just in case.
just in case you get dumb. I'm so sad. You missed the really bad thing that could happen here.
We didn't want to take a nap and get eaten by cookies. That would have been ironic, but horrible.
Renori, you're up first.
What would it take to identify any of these creatures?
Arcana for the cookies. She looks human, so it's local.
Okay. Well, I've never heard of her. I'm not from around here, so I'm just gonna try the cookies.
Do you want the little cookies or the bigger cookies?
We'll start with the goat shaped cookie with a 24.
That appears to be a gingerbread goat. It is a goat that is a gingerbread cookie. Congratulations. Give me a knowledge arcana check.
That was a 24 for arcana.
Oh. You know that these are generally the familiars of gingerbread witches.
Gingerbread witches?
All right. Do I get much else beyond that?
It's got a hoof attack. It's got all the powers of a goat in cookie form.
does it being in cookie form, like, cause it to be any different than a normal goat? Like,
It's a construct instead of an animal. And you think this goat might be a mauler familiar.
I'm also going to quickly look at the swarm of gingerbread folk here. That's a 34 to identify their properties and abilities.
This is a gingerbread swarm. They are a fine construct. That is a swarm. With a, you said 24?
34.
Oh, well then. That's going to get you 6 questions about them. What do you want to know?
Well, first and foremost, weaknesses.
They don't have any, but they are immune to weapon damage because of their small size.
Okay. Vulnerabilities? No, I just asked that. That's weaknesses. Yeah. What did I say? Resistances.
They have construct traits and swarm traits.
Okay. Do they have any kind of spell resistance?
No, not beyond what a normal swarm would have, which is none.
Other than overwhelming someone with their swarm attacks, do they do anything else special?
They have lots of great special attacks. The first one is called... first of all, they are moderately intelligent. They're about as intelligent as a collective human, each of them. So they have a whole bunch of special abilities. Because they are intelligent, they can act as if they had a human intelligence, but cannot be targeted by mind-affecting effects or other effects that would only target a single creature, like a normal swarm. But if you have a mind-affecting effect that works on an area, they're affected by it. Whenever they use their swarm attack, they can attempt to a combat maneuver against that target to either dirty trick, disarm, grapple, steal, or trip. They get a pretty sizable bonus despite their small size, and they could try a separate combat maneuver from that list against each foe in their area. They count all equipment that you're wearing as if it were loosely worn for the purpose of taking it off with the steel maneuver. Because they can basically just get in there and work together to pull off pretty much anything. And whenever they damage a creature with their swarm attack or successfully trip a creature, they can attempt to engulf the creature in a rolling tide of confections as a free action. This provokes an attack of opportunity from the creature they're engulfing, but it's generally hard to do anything about it because they're immune to weapon damage. You could also try, if you don't take the attack of opportunity, you could try to reflex save out of the engulf. But basically, it works like the engulf ability. And if you get engulfed, they get to try to fatten you up every round while they're pinning you.
Oh, no.
What the hell, Alex?
The fatten up ability is something completely different that they can do. They can take their body, they can take individual component creatures in their swarm. And if you are pinned or prone in their space, they can essentially shove the cookies into your mouth. Each cookie is laced with a delightful fattening up poison that causes you to take dexterity damage as you become supernaturally engorged. It gives you pretty massive penalties, and it gives you the sickened and nauseated condition from eating too much. And they can also cause you to become encumbered by the additional weight of the cookies in your body.
Oh my god.
If you get fattened up, it lasts for 1d3 hours per fortitude save you fail against them.
Oh my goodness.
So yeah, that's the gingerbread cookies. Enjoy them. Very nice. Literally.
Okay.
Who's got area effects?
I do.
I have an area effect. I will move over just beside Orin and shoot some fire from my hands that are currently... Shoot some burning hands at them.
Yeah, sure. Burning hands. Let's overbake these cookies.
Mm-hmm. They roll a 15 on their saving throw.
Okay, that saves for half. All right.
But it is an area effect, so it'll do 50% more.
Yeah, but it should have done all the damage.
I mean...
Okay, so that's 11 damage down to 5. That's a terrible roll.
7. Right. Okay, so life is hard. I understand. So that is a very small chunk of damage. It is the witch's turn. Witch old witch, the wicked witch. So the first thing that she is going to do is she is going to look over at the battlefield. She sees this giant oversized boy. She sees this teddy bear person that's right next to her. She sees this little girl who just tried to burn her cookies, and she's not happy about that. But in this particular moment, she definitely thinks that she is going to try to take care of y'all with one fell swoop. She's going to 5-foot step away from Biddle.
No.
And she is going to cast a spell. You can give me a spellcraft check if you have it.
Only an 18.
I got a 28. That's my deal.
This is a very high level spell. So Renori knows what it is, but Ragnvald doesn't. She just cast the spell Cloak of Dreams. She is now surrounded in a haze of delicious gingerbread smelling mist. Renori, you know that if any creature gets within 5 feet of them and ends their turn there, they have to make a saving throw or fall asleep for 1 minute.
Oh boy.
I warn the party of such.
Yes. Also, if you have the scent ability, you take a penalty against it because it just smells so good.
Good smell.
Yeah. So, Orin, it is your turn.
I don't have to get any closer than I am.
Yeah.
Power attack, smash, smash.
Against the lady?
Yep, the lady.
You need lunge, right, to do that?
Yep. Lungy, smash, smash. 31?
Hit.
Okay. And the natural one to miss.
That'll miss.
27 damage.
All right. All of that goes through. But considering she's a witch, you would have expected it to be much more damaging to her than it actually was.
Hmm.
When you hit her, her body feels rubbery.
Ugh.
Oh, right.
Gross and weird.
Ragnvald, you're up. Yeah, her whole body kind of shimmers and shakes as if she has a lot of room in there with which to store her food, if you catch my drift.
Mm. Gross. I'll take a 5-foot step to the south to sort of get away from the gingerbread goat.
Good call.
And then I'm gonna cast heroism on Orin there. Let's beef him up.
Okay.
Oops.
Good move.
That means, in general, you're getting a +2 bonus morale bonus to attack rolls, saves, and skill checks. For the next,
yay!
90 minutes or so.
Biddle, you're up.
All right. So, Biddle, you said that there was a pot. Is there anything that's like full of water in the area in the room?
Water? Oh, no. You said there was goat's milk, there's right? Glasses of goat's milk all over the room. Yeah.
Fantastic. Oh, so, Biddle's gonna launch one of those glasses of goat's milk at the cookies. You cookies are gonna be soggy.
That's funny.
So her kinetic blast is a 27 to hit.
Yeah, that'll hit. And I believe your blast does full damage to swarms,
it
right?
It sure does.
Nice!
For 34 points of soggy damage.
They do not look like they enjoyed that.
We'll call that huge slashing damage from the shards of glass as it explodes against the wall.
Mmm, gotcha.
And then she is going to step over here and defend her friends.
All right. It's their turn. All throughout the room, you see little gingerbread cookies hard at work, and they are opening and closing the ovens, and it looks like the swarm is replenishing itself as it does this.
No.
Yeah, it's rather terrifying, actually. It looks like hundreds more gingerbread cookies join the fray. So they are going to move 5, 10, 15. Orin, you are more than welcome to make a attack of opportunity against them as they basically go for all three of you. But
I don't see a good solid target there, so I'm going to refrain.
There really is not. Mm. Oh, by the way, the other thing you know about them, Louise, is that a swarm counts as a large creature with a strength score of 30 for the purpose of carrying things. So if that matters to you, that's kind of more of a fun thing. Mm-hmm. So as they move in there, all three of you need to give me a will save, first of all.
Oh boy.
Oh my goodness.
Natural 20.
Mm-hmm. All right, you're good?
21.
You are good?
Oh no, I rolled a natural 1. Okay.
Oh! This is actually cookies. Super appropriate because this first saving throw is as they approach, they smell delicious. Like it is overwhelmingly amazing. And so Renori and Orin are fine, but Ragnvald, you can't help but like your mouth starts salivating at the smell, and like as a result, you take a -2 penalty to all d20 rolls and checks for one round.
Okay. Ragnvald has a sweet tooth.
Yes, you definitely have a sweet tooth. The next thing that happens is that they are going to use their swarm attack to try and delightfully, do their thing. You three all take 6 points of damage from their swarm attack. The next thing that need to happen is I need a will save against their distraction ability.
I got a 17.
Okay. You are not distracted by the cookies that are crawling all over your body.
12.
You are absolutely distracted by these cookies because they feel like bugs.
I got a 23, actually, surprisingly.
You are...
Looking with that -2.
You are so focused on them that because they smell so good and your eyes are on them, that you are not distracted, because distracted implies nauseated and you're really, really hungry. Mm-hmm. So, that's fine. The next thing that happens is that... you guys need to give me a saving throw against poison.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, goodness.
18.
Okay, you're good.
24.
Oh, did I say it's fortitude? It's a will save, my bad. Just modify that.
A will save against poison?
Yep.
Oh.
26.
Oh, terrible.
Yeah.
8. Boo.
Okay. How did you do, Param?
26.
All right. This is kind of appropriate, I hate to say it, but you are completely overwhelmed by your cravings for gingerbread, Ragnvald. there's a list of specific actions that you'll have to take next round that we'll do on your turn. Yes. So then the final thing is you need to... Oh, actually, they're going to try to... do their swarm thing. So the first thing that they're going to do is they're going to try to trip all of you. Orin, does a 25 trip you? Don't forget to include the increase in size to your CMD.
No, it will not trip me.
24 on Renori?
Yes. Goodness. How much can these guys do?
A lot. A lot. And the last one is a 34 on Wrangle.
Oh, sure. Sugar.
Yeah, I rolled really well for you.
Sure, these, sugar.
These cookies are just really exciting. I think with that, they get to engulf you now. My bad. So do you want to take an attack of opportunity, you three, or do you want to try to reflex save out of the engulf?
I want to get out of it.
Okay, yeah. Then if you want to get out, give me a reflex save.
A 21.
21, okay. You're good.
19.
You are good.
Also 21.
Is that with the minus 2 penalty?
That's with the minus 2, yep.
You are not engulfed. Congratulations.
Hooray.
Guess what? Their turn is finally over.
Oh boy.
Good lord.
Yeah. All right. Now it is the goat's turn. The goat gets bigger. It swells in size until it's about the size of Rangvald. That's its turn. Renori, you are on the ground covered in cookies.
I'm also nauseated.
Yes.
I will stand up. The end.
Oh no.
Nice. All right. So that's your turn then, Louise?
Yeah, that's all I can do.
Yep. So now it is the gingerbread witch's turn. She is going to be very sad that, like, all y'all just basically left her. She's like, come on, children. It's time for dinner. And I think the next thing she's going to do is... Oh, there's a lot she can do. She is going to cast a spell targeting Biddle.
Oh, no.
But that definitely misses. A ray of black light surround, sheathed in purple, flies out of her fingers, but Biddle ducks under that counter and, like, it hits a pot. Yeah, so that's life.
Let's not
Does
do that.
Does the pot become some sort of hideous Christmas creature, too, now?
No, the pot just falls to the ground.
Okay.
And it has negative levels.
Yes. The pot has taken 4 negative levels.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I didn't want to get hit by that.
Orin, you are covered in cookies.
Does it bother me?
Yeah, a lot, actually. Give me a reflex save.
Reflex save, okay. That's a 12.
Well, give me a fortitude save.
A fortitude save?
2 of them. One fort, 1 will, I'm sorry.
Okay. Okay, so the fortitude save was a 17.
Okay.
And the will save is a 26.
Yeah.
So because you were on the ground, a bunch of the cookies managed to shove the... Like, you see, like, what happens is like, the cookies are doing, like, a diver's routine like this. And then 2 of them will grab one on each side and just force it into your mouth. So because of that, you are not affected by the addictive poison that Rangvald now has. You passed your will save. But they do manage to shove that cookie in real good. You take 1 point of dexterity damage.
Okay.
Nothing else happens.
All right. Yeah, just that.
You are feeling extraordinarily full, as if these each cookie was a full meal.
All right. Okay, so I stand back up.
You do?
Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to power attack, battle strike that witch.
Okay.
Hoping that it makes the cookie stop me.
Okay.
Okay, does a 24 hit the witch?
Does a 24 hit her? She catches the blade between her hands and tosses it to the side.
Oh,
my gosh. Grr.
Did you add that heroism bonus?
I did not. That's 26 hit the witch.
You, as you toss it to the side, she pulls your, you pull your sword back in and stab her right in the gut.
Yeah.
Heroism.
All right, so I'm going to make sure I'm chewing on that cookie awful menacingly while this happens.
Oh, it's already in your esophagus. It's going down to the tummy now. You're not chewing on anything.
You just look at her and then bite a head off a cookie.
Man, I can't roll very good damage.
That's okay. I'll be fine with that.
40 damage.
All right. So she's not very happy, but she's still up. Rangvald, it's your turn. So sure, as you eat this cookie, like, your tummy starts to grumble. First, give me a will save.
Sure. That is a 22.
All right. The smell of the cookie, your nose is kind of adjusted to it for now, so you're not taking that minus 2 penalty anymore.
Okay.
But that doesn't matter, because in your brain, you have an overwhelming desire for cookies. You basically just lie on the ground prone and shove as many of them as you can into your mouth.
Oh, no.
Yep. So, with that, it is now Biddle's turn.
Oh, boy.
Okay. These cookies are a problem. She's going to try to douse them in another glass of goat's milk.
All right, that goat's going to take an attack of opportunity against you.
Oh, yeah, no, it can feel free to do so. I'll try to use this defensively so I don't take 2 or get interrupted. So I'm successful in defensive, but it's a ranged attack, so go ahead.
All right. It's going to kick you good.
Bring it.
Rolls a nat 1. It misses you. It hits another pot.
Uh-huh. You know what?
What do they have against these pots?
So she starts to gather the aether around her to sort of grab something in the room, and this thing kicks the pot. She instead grabs it and then tosses that over at the cookie.
Sounds good.
Pot.
Does a 20 hit them?
A 20 hits them.
Fantastic.
Okay, just a point of order, everybody. Please make sure you're talking into microphones.
Okay, that is 20, 31 points of damage against those darn cookies. So they get crushed by the pot.
You are very consistent. Most of the cookies are crumbs now. Rangvald is scooping as many as possible into his mouth. Oh, right. It is the cookies' turn. So the first thing that happens is the cookies are going to pretty much stay where they are. And they're going to try to do their swarm stuff again. So you guys all take 10 points of damage. All of you need to give me a saving throw first against the delectable ability that is going to represent their delicious smells. Rangvald, you already took this. You don't have to roll.
Okay, cool.
So will save?
Yeah.
20.
You pass.
Nat 20.
You pass. Nice. Now give me one against distraction. Also a will save.
Don't forget about that heroism, Param. Plus two. Mm-hmm. And them saves.
26.
Pass.
19.
Pass. All right. So the next one is against Fatten Up. Or no, Swarming Engulf. So that's reflex save. You automatically fail, Rangvald.
All right.
The reason is because you're lying on the ground trying desperately to shove as many cookies in your mouth as you can, and you just let them wash over you.
Give me them cookies.
Yeah, basically.
I just turned straight into the Cookie Monster. I'm eating them, but I'm not really eating them. They're just the crumbs are just going everywhere.
Mind it, Rangvald. I know you're hungry, but come on.
You're supposed to save some room for breakfast.
It's my breakfast.
27 reflex save.
You pass?
10.
You fail. You are engulfed by cookies.
Mm-hmm.
This gives you it's basically the engulf ability. You are pinned, and because you're pinned, both of you and Rangvald, but not Param, need to give me a fortitude save.
I use my fortitude save.
18.
You fail.
I got a 22.
Because,
24, actually.
Because you failed against the poison, you also fail.
Oh.
All okay. Right. Yeah, that is a delightful penalty from the poison. So both of you two take 3 points of dexterity damage.
Thanks.
I rolled much better against you two. I need a will save from Louise as he eats cookie, or as Minori eats cookie.
That's a 23.
You are good. You're not compulsed to lie on the ground and shove cookies in your mouth like Reinhardt is. Like Rangvald is. Both of you two take a minus one penalty to your combat maneuver defense. You take a minus one penalty on saving throws against anything that causes the sickened or nauseated condition, and your character's weight increases by 20% as your bellies stretch with cookie. All right. Yep. So with that, Param, they are going to try to take your sword from you. Param, does a 34 disarm you?
It does, you jerks!
The cookies grab the sword, and they're literally, like, mosh-pitting it across them. So it's in your space. They can't actually pick it up, because they don't have the feet for that, but they've definitely disarmed you. It is the goat's turn. The goat is going to try again to carry... the goat is going to delay. Renori's turn.
Well, can I move in any capacity now that I'm engulfed?
It counts as being pinned, so you have to escape from the pinned condition.
Mm-hmm. Okay. This is not my favorite thing right now. Pinned feature. Can't use somatic or material components. This is... I think I have a thing for this. It won't help me get out, but it might help other people. I will give some misfortune to the witch.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a DC 18, we'll see.
Is misfortune mind affecting?
Yes, it is.
Nothing happens.
Oh, no.
No.
All right. It is now the witch's turn. She is going to cast another spell. What are you going to do, Renora? You're now looking right at her.
I'm going to smack her for casting a spell.
Lunge doesn't work on attack of opportunities.
Does not?
It only lasts till the end of your turn.
Lame.
Oh, wait a second. Misfortune. Oh, misfortune isn't mind affecting?
Then she is misfortuned.
Okay. Sure.
All right. In the meanwhile,
mind a thing. I
see. Okay. Give me your spellcraft check.
This is gonna be a great number. Look at that, 21.
With a 21, you don't know what she's doing, but her cookie is twisting in form as, you know, those red spicy candies, that little circles that are always put on cookies around the holidays, they're like cinnamon things. Oh. Its body starts getting covered in all of them as it shifts and changes into a medium sized cookie dragon.
Wait, what?
She cast a spell and it turned into a cookie dragon.
Cookie dragon.
Yep. That's life. I hope you enjoy this delightful trek into the unknown.
I don't even know what's happening.
I'm very confused.
Cookie dragon is going to take its turn.
Okay.
Let's see. So that's a lot of big bonuses. So it's an extra +2 to that. Okay. It is going to attack with all of its cookie glory. I'm going to sneeze. All right. First attack against Biddle. Biddle, does a natural 20 hit you?
Yes.
Rolling to confirm. Does a 23 confirm?
It does not.
All right. You, my good friend, are going to take a total of 10 points of bite damage.
Miss.
All right.
Did she turn the goat into a dragon? Or did she turn herself into a dragon? Oh, okay.
She turned the goat into a giant cookie dragon.
Okay. That's slightly less disturbing.
Yes.
Yes. Now the goat is going to claw at you. Does a 28 claw at you?
It does.
How about a 20? Oh, that's another 28. I'm not going to ask that again. That'd be repetitive. All right. The first claw is going to do, it would be halved. So 9 damage on the first claw and 8 on the second.
Okay. Getting real damage now.
And then it takes its cookie wings and swipes at you.
Yeah, bring
it. 21 and 31.
21's going to miss, but 31 hits.
All right. The first cookie wing, that one cookie wing that hit, I said it first, but the cookie wing that hits you is going to do a total of 8 points of damage. All
right.
And it roars a cookie dragon breath.
Whoa.
Roar! Orin, you have watched that this thing has finally punched its way through Biddle's shields. It's Orin's turn.
I'm going to pick back up my candy cane sword.
You do it. The cookies try to jump up and reach it, but they can't really stop you.
Mm-hmm.
Does the cookie dragon snap at him?
Does picking up a weapon off the ground provoke?
Yep.
Then yes.
It's not drawing it. Oh, then bodyguard and Biddle will get in the way.
Okay. So with bodyguard, that's +4 to Orin's AC.
+5 to his AC.
Oh. I don't think this is going to hit. 21 against that AC?
No.
Okay. Orin defends against the cookie dragon's bite.
All right. Lunging power attack battle strike. Yeah.
Against her or the cookie?
The witch.
Okay.
Get that witch.
She's the problem. I'm hoping this all goes away when we swat the witch. I'm probably wrong.
I think the cookie dragon will anyway.
Okay, so 27?
Hits her.
Okay.
Hero is on.
16, 17, 20 plus 22, 42 damage.
Ow. She looks like she actually took that and like she might fall unconscious soon.
Mm-hmm. Grr.
Reinvald, you're still lying on the ground shoving cookies in your mouth.
Sure am.
It's wonderful. You just lie there and let them do their thing. It's actually really delicious. It's horrifying, but it's really horrifying delicious.
Tears are now streaming down my face. And
Biddle,
like,
it's your turn. You are dealing with a cookie dragon.
You know, I'm less concerned about that and more concerned about these cookies that are trying to make my friends eat them. So hopefully one last cup of goat's milk. Let me use that defensively. Defensive is successful, but I provoke from a ranged attack, except...
It does not have combat reflexes.
Aha, I don't have to deal with that right now.
It has alertness and nimble moves.
All working according to plan. Let's see, 33 points if a 22 hits it?
A 22 narrowly hits it, and 33 points of damage is enough to kill the swarm.
Yes! Fantastic.
And that's the way the cookie crumbles.
It sure is.
You've been waiting to say that for probably all of your life.
Yes.
And Biddle is gonna make her way over to her friend and with her move action start to like brush away the cookies and help him up if she can.
Absolutely. Renori, it's your turn.
Okay. Well, with my sudden revelation that misfortune is not mind affecting, I will attempt to cast misfortune on the cookie dragon.
Okay.
DC 18 will save.
A 18. It rolls an 11, so it fails.
Aha, so both the witch and the dragon are befallen with misfortune. I will cackle. but this is the first thing that's going right for me in
Nice. All right, next round goes to her. She is going to cast a spell. You can give me a spellcraft, Renori. And Rangvald, I'm sorry, but you're still eating cookie crumbs off the floor.
Yeah, I got to shake this off.
She's casting Dominate Person. Or give me a will save.
Is that a one-round cast? Or is that
It is, isn't it?
I think so.
Oh,
unless you're a vampire.
I mean, she's definitely not a vampire, although a vampire...
That would be insane.
A vampire gingerbread witch... There's an idea. So yeah, she looks like she started casting Dominate Person.
Hey, someone stop her.
The cookie dragon is going to open its mouth and hit all y'all with a breath attack as cookie fire in the form of cinnamon things pelts out of its mouth at you.
Oh, no.
And then upon touching your body, they combust into flame. It's delightful. Let's see. So it uses the spell's saving throw DC, if I remember this right, which it would be a... All right, got it. Give me your reflex saves.
13.
13 fails.
28?
28 passes.
16
fails.
I only got a 14.
14 fails. Enjoy the deliciousness of the cookie breath of weapon attack.
Oh, my God.
Let's see.
That cinnamon is so spicy.
Yeah. Plus 7. You take 23 points of damage if you failed, or 11 points if you passed. It is fire damage, if it matters to you, from the spicy cinnamon.
Mm-hmm.
Beginning to look like a very sad bear.
Okay.
It's very sad bear. It's your turn.
Okay. Very sad bear is going to very angrily smash. But I'm going to take a 5-foot step forward towards the witch.
Okay.
And then double power attacks on her.
Okay.
All right.
All right. So that is a 29 on the first one.
Hit.
And a 27 on the second one.
Hit.
Yeah.
The first one is 34 damage.
34 damage. Okay. How much does she have? All right. She looks like she's on her last leg.
And 30 damage on the second one.
Okay. She looks like she's inches from death, and right when you think you're about to kill her, it looks like a whole bunch of that damage just disappears from her and goes straight to the gingerbread dragon.
Don't like that at all.
Oh, right. It is now Rangvald's turn.
Can I act normal? Can I be normal? All right.
Nope. You got two more rounds of acting like this. You sit on the ground and just shove crumbs in your face.
Okay, then I do nothing.
Luckily,
I'm
on the plus
licking
side,
the floor.
Because they're all dead, you're not going to have to make saves against their delightful fattening up anymore. Biddle, you're up. The dragon looks like it was hurt. Yeah, well, I mean, you took out the swarm. The swarm takes a long time to educate. That's why there's only one of them here.
All right. Let's see. Biddle will 5-foot step away from this gingerbread dragon. So she can freely blast away. Let's see. How does one take care of a gingerbread dragon? I know. Shards of cookie from the other gingerbread thing can pelt it. She blasts that over at him. Ooh, 15 on die is going to be 28 to hit.
A 28 will hit the gingerbread dragon.
Fantastic. For a grand total. All right, let's go. 38 points of
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah, that's right.
You knock off a whole bunch of cookies, and this dragon looks like it's falling apart and or dying soon.
Dragon!
Renori, you're up.
I will cackle and then step out of this kitchen. and that's going to be my turn.
All right, the spell goes off. Oren, give me a will save.
Oh, good lord.
Hold on. Actually, she's got to make a concentration check, doesn't
she? Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
So let me think. When you're damaged, it's 10 plus the damage you took, right?
Oh, gosh, that's like 60-some damage.
Well, it would be it would be separate for each attack, so it's like a 28 for each.
Okay, so 48.
All right.
10 so plus damage dealt plus spell level.
Oh.
Ooh.
Nope, she loses the spell.
Oh, yay. Good.
Good.
She 5-foot steps up. Give me a will save, Oren.
Wait, no. Yeah. She 5-foot steps up. I get to step back.
I don't think step up lets you move away from somebody, does it?
It lets me take a step. It doesn't specify damage.
I thought it specified location.
I think it's a...
It says you have to be adjacent to the creature that triggered the ability.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I do get to smack it.
It's from a 5-foot step?
step up and strike.
But it doesn't go off, but, though.
Yeah, it doesn't go off because it's moving into a spot adjacent to you.
Yeah. If it was adjacent to you to begin with, you'd be able to, unfortunately.
It says whenever an adjacent foe attempts to take a 5-foot step away from you, it's not moving away from you.
Roger, roger. In that case, grumble, grumble, you jerk. Evil bad witch.
Give me your will save.
Okay. 23.
Oh, was that actually, you know, you would have failed if it wasn't with heroism.
Yes.
I actually wasn't with heroism, but thank you for reminding me of it.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Oh, that's sad. So goes there, and she is going, she's just very frustrated now. She's going to try to cast a spell defensively where she is, because she was counting on you to fail miserably. Let me think. So it's 15 plus double spell level. This is a 4th level spell.
And she has to roll twice and take the worst.
Oh, no. Oh, well, that's okay. The first roll was the worst roll. So there's a chance. So it would be, for an 8th level spell, it would be 4 doubled is 8. 8 plus 15 is 23. She rolls a 10 and gets plus 16, so that's 26. So the spell goes off. Okay. Whew. All right. I need one of those delightfully big black tentacles areas, Louise. Help me out. How do I make one?
Oh, I can draw one for you really quick.
Oh, no.
Because essentially she's gonna drop it like pretty much right here next to this doorway so that she can try to get all 4 of y'all plus Orin plus Renori. She's like, I'm not letting my dinner get away from me. It probably will get the dragon too, and she's okay with that.
Well, that's unfortunate.
It's very unfortunate. Thanks. I'll take this, and I should be able to put this right about there. Yeah, that'll do. Can she adjust it? No, there's no way to get all of y'all without getting her familiar. So she doesn't care. That's fine. All right, it's going to do its thing. Black tentacles, go. Oh, that's not a real number. I think it's plus. I mean, I highly doubt that I'm going to get any of y'all with a 4, but we'll see. Let's see. It's caster level, so her caster level is 12 plus her plus 4 to their strength, so that would be 16 plus 1 size is 17. I rolled a 4 for 21. So do any of you have a CMD that is lower than this 21 or lower?
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow.
Thanks to all that dex damage you dealt. Oh, yes.
So, actually, I don't get the familiar. The familiar has a 23. So this is a very strange turn of events that I was not predicting. Okay, so all of you who get grappled, you have a delightful, 10 points of acid damage and are grappled. No. Wow.
10 points of acid?
I rolled a 6 and it's plus 4. I don't know what else to say.
I don't think it's acid. I think it's just grabbing you, right?
I thought it was acid, but yeah, I think it's just damage then.
Yeah, it's just blood. It just squeezes you.
All right. Well, that's her turn. She laughs. Ha ha. Now, my familiar, destroy this child. And it's going to move 10, 20. It's going to provoke from Orin if you want to take it as it comes for you.
Oh, of course I want to take it.
Please.
34.
That hits.
Mm-hmm. 27.
The cookie dies. And as it crumbles into ordinary gingerbread, there is a dark, shadowy thing that looks like the Krampus lying, standing there in its place. And it points to the woman and it says, "Witch, you knew the cost of our bargain." And she goes, "Wait, no, I can do better. No!" And she melts into what looks like cookie dough.
Whoa, good news.
Oh, okay.
And the tentacles disappear.
I'm going to smash the cookie dough a whole bunch just to be sure.
And so as that happens, all of the magically altered cookies in the room start rotting and falling apart.
Mm-hmm. Oh, some of those cookies are in your tummies.
So, Rangvald, you have that engorged belly for the next 3 hours.
Okay.
I believe if you got the penalty too, Renori, you also have the engorged belly for 3 hours.
Oh, no. I hope you're still hungry for breakfast.
It's weird because you're engorged, but it actually doesn't affect your appetite.
Yeah, I just don't ever want to look at food ever again.
Maybe just a piece of bacon or something.
Okay.
But everyone looks pretty beat up, so she's going to say, you know what, it needs to be a bit more cheery in here. And she's going to channel the power of Yule to heal everyone for 30 points of damage.
Nice.
Delightful.
And you all gain fast healing 3 for 4 rounds, which will heal you another 12
points. Delightful.
How much dexterity damage do people have?
3.
I got, Yeah, three.
I has one.
You're fine.
Yeah, I'm good.
Rangvald, I'm going to spend three rounds to cast Lesser Restoration upon you.
Oh, thank you.
And roll a d4. You recover two of that.
Oops, I'm making it go up. Down, down, down. All right, then I'm back to normal then.
Your dexterity damage is gone, but the engorging remains.
Yeah, I'm still... My stomach's all bloated.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You think the only way to get rid of that is through natural digestion.
Mm-hmm.
So is there anything in this kitchen that still looks eatable?
Edible?
No, eatable.
No, edible.
I'm seven.
That's fair. Yes. Also, there is a pile of stuff where the gingerbread witch and her cookie goat once were.
Ooh. That stuff is rotten cookie though, right? I don't.
Yeah, there's like legitimate like potion bottles and stuff.
Oh, okay. Somebody else do that. I don't want to get my bear suit dirty.
Oh, Biddle doesn't mind. She'll look through it and hand off anything that looks shiny to Renori.
There are two potions. They are clearly marked because this is somebody who wants to keep them, you know, organized, so she doesn't drink the wrong potion in combat.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. One of them says that it is a potion of displacement. The other is a potion of greater magic fang. Mm. There is also a scroll, but it looks a scroll case, but it looks like the scroll was already used.
Okay.
The scroll is labeled mind blank, perhaps understanding why she would have been immune to mind affecting effects.
That figures.
There's also an amulet in her place, a belt, and a wand.
Tell me about this wand with a 27 spellcraft.
It is a wand of mage armor with 25 charges.
Oh, that's neat.
There's also an amulet and a belt.
Yes, I'll work on that in just a moment. Amulet is a 22.
That one is for the amulet. It is an amulet of natural armor with a +2 bonus.
Mm-hmm.
Which one of you strong folk would like that?
I don't know. Param, do you have any natural armor?
I am currently not wearing any natural armor.
Me either.
Why don't you wear natural armor? That sounds like a good thing.
Adding it.
Mm-hmm. Finally, a 29 to identify that belt.
It is a belt of giant strength with a +2 bonus. Yes, the witch wore a belt of giant strength.
Why not?
And then there's also a small pile of fancy-looking metal stuff in the goat's square, amongst all of its crumbs.
Metal stuff.
Yeah. One of them appears to be chain barding made out of silver. But at a closer inspection, you realize that it's actually made out of mithril. And it's even magical, Renori.
Thanks.
You're close enough to a bear. Can you wear barding?
It functions as a small chain shirt for a goat.
Oh, I like my jacket, thanks. Keeps me warm.
There's also a nose ring.
What?
That would let go on the goat's nose.
Right.
Is it fancy looking nose ring?
Very fancy. It's even magical, according to Renori.
Okay. Well, I got a 26 for the goat shirt.
It is a +1 mithril barding, which functions as a small chain shirt for a goat.
And a 30.
It is a ring of deflection with a +1 bonus.
Okay.
Now hold still, Biddle. We can get this in your nose.
What?
Or you could just wear it on your finger. But she already has two rings.
I have rings. Oh. I'm good.
So that's why it needs to go in the nose.
What? Oh, I don't know if that matches my aesthetic.
As you search the room, you find a set of mithril cooking utensils, including pots, pans, a spatula, a dozen forks, knives, and spoons. Parts of each item on the set are stamped with a small wax seal bearing the likeness of a goat-like humanoid. You can give me a knowledge religion check.
Oh, I'll do that.
Do it.
Let me do it. Let's see, one of my skills. I think that's about 25.
That is the mark of an organization called the Krampus Coven, meaning that as a result, it's probably an organization of witches and or hags, which you've definitely killed two members of now. As a result, you think it's probably okay to take this?
I'll take it and maybe destroy it later.
Or you could just pull off the wax seals and sell it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's fair.
Then you can also give me, if you're interested in searching the room for any, for like food or supplies or whatever, you can give me a perception check.
Sure thing. Let's all search.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. I got an 18.
18, you don't find anything too useful because there's so much cookie around, and the lingering effects of the poison make you say yes, 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 but your brain and control make you say no, no, no.
I rolled a 9.
You find a cookie, but then it crumbles.
No.
Well, anybody get better than that?
Just 13. And Biddle's mostly looking for stuff to eat for breakfast.
Yeah, you haven't found anything with that number, sadly. How about you, Renori? Give me a real perception check number.
Yes, a real perception number.
Not a like natural 25. One number.
What was that?
25.
So not only do you find the cabinet where all the real food is, but in the back of that that cabinet, it appears to be a secret compartment that you could open.
Is the compartment magical in any way?
Is it magical in any way? When you glow on it, it looks like there might be something magical inside of the compartment.
I will open it.
Give me a fortitude save.
There it is.
A poison gas puffs out of it, and you breathe in a good chunk of it. And, well, this is awkward. All of you actually need to give me a fortitude save.
No, no.
As it fills the room.
Ooh, not 20.
Oh, dear. This is not good for me.
I got a 22.
Pass.
Hey. 18.
You pass.
Oh.
Oh, wait, no, you fail. I'm sorry.
Oh, good idea. DC was,
and Biddle.
Not 20.
You pass. So the two of you that fail, you smell the gas and, like, your tummy starts quivering and... All of a sudden, it feels like inside of your like mouths as you breathe it in, the gas coalesces into cookies that you swallow and eat, and it fattens you up, causing both of you to take 2 points of dex damage, which is enough to engorge you. Renori, you would still be at normal where you were, or you have a minus one to CMD against anything that grapples or pins you, a minus one on saves against nauseated and sickened effects. And yeah, that's about it. Also, your weight increases by 20%.
Is the dex damage in addition to any previous dex damage, or...
Yeah, did you not heal your dex damage?
No, I only healed...
So your penalties go up to minus two then, and your weight is now increased by 40% instead of 20%.
Mm-hmm. That's no good.
No, it's really not good. It's very uncomfortable for you physically. But it looks like this cabinet was put here because inside there's all sorts of goodies. When you look inside, there are cookies that radiate with overwhelming magic.
Oh.
And they seem to be pre-frosted in each of your likenesses, like the Yuletide tarts that you got before.
That's
handy.
You also find there is enough for two for each of you. So if you haven't eaten your previous one, you now have three resting cookies.
What? There's two resting cookies each?
Uh-huh.
Oh, boy.
Hey. There is also four jars of restorative ointment, four scrolls of remove curse, and a scroll of restoration that has a 1,000 gold material component built in. Instead of the normal 100.
Oh.
So a super negative level remover, huh?
Uh-huh.
Well, since you guys aren't feeling very good, a couple of you guys have dex damage.
And I've got all this blood on my teddy bear costume.
I don't know how to clean that up very well, but I can make you feel better, and she's going to hug Orin and heal 1 point of dex damage, and she'll go ahead and hug Renori and heal 2 points. Using lesser restoration from kinetic restoration.
Nice.
And she's looking a little more frayed after that, but hopefully you guys are doing better.
All right.
Better.
So with that, you've fully explored the kitchen. You've beaten the gingerbread witch, her horrifying gingerbread swarm, and her terrifying gingerbread mauler familiar. This one is fun. I enjoyed this. I hope you guys enjoyed it. But you're in the kitchen now. This was your goal. If you look up to your north, there are a set of double doors, and there is a smaller door. There's also a set of double doors that goes back the way you came, back into the hallway. That is to the west. And then to the south, there's a window out in the courtyard.
Hooray.
Well, before we do anything else, we should have a proper breakfast, a good healthy one, don't you think?
Yeah. Yes.
I shrink down, though, now.
It lasts for 1 minute, right?
Per level.
Per level. Oh.
If we take time to make breakfast, you probably will.
You absolutely will if you take time to make breakfast.
Okay. Well, I definitely think that's a good idea.
But I'm very, very injured. Do we have any way to make me feel better?
Oh, you're still very injured? Well, we got a million of these cookies, so here's what I'm going to do. If you're very, very injured, I will heal you, but you can take the burn, and then when you want to get rid of all that non-lethal damage, just eat one of those.
Okay.
So, if I'm just getting you by yourself, that's going to be 20-39 for the first one, and another 12 over the next several rounds.
She gives you fast healing now when she hugs you.
I know.
So good.
It's the injured mercy. It's fantastic.
I wrote that. Now, let's continue.
You've made all my kinetic healers very broken.
And how much is the burn?
Oh, it's 1 point of non-lethal damage per hit die, so 9 non-lethal. And it'll go away when you rest, a.k.a. eat a cookie.
I eat one of my 3 cookies.
Oh, right now are you full hit points?
I am full hit points. I'm good.
Oh,
all right. So you take 10 minutes to just enjoy this cookie while Renori is busy baking.
Sounds smart.
Renori, how good are you at baking breakfast pastries?
How dare you?
I even ask.
Give me a profession baker check.
21.
That's a very good breakfast. And with using the magic of the book, you are able to transform it into a hero's feast.
Are we putting in Vanessa, you had something to add into that as well, didn't you?
Well, we wanted to make it an extra healthy breakfast, so Biddle pulls out a little bottle of medicine labeled anti-plague and has him add it to the recipe. And that will give us not only the benefits of Hero's Feast, but using anti-plague as a material component, we get the benefits of anti-plague for the duration as well.
That is the alchemical power component rule from, is it Adventurer's Armory or Alchemical Manual?
The Alchemy Manual. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A lot of good stuff in
it. Yeah, so she mixes it in and poof, all of a sudden this spell now gives a nice bonus from this delightful alchemical item. The book is still very annoyed that you would so its perfect recipe with medicine.
I think instead of putting it in the bake, we should have little anti-plague mimosas alongside these breakfast pastries.
Yeah, so when it works, as part of the spell, the book of chairs and tables and stuff fly out of the book and set themselves all up in the room for you with like a little tablecloth. Silverware comes out and starts cutting and preparing the food for you. And you can spend the next hour eating breakfast, I guess.
Is there a non-copyright infringing musical number that occurs during this?
Have some food. Have some food. It's gonna taste real good.
So the worst part is that those two words rhyme from like how they're spelled, but not how they're
spelled. Yes, I know. Approximate rhyme.
No, it's okay. I understand. I wrote a goblin song for a product on Thursday, and I got yelled at for an approximate rhyme too.
This is the direct to DVD knockoff anyway. The approximate rhyme is the best we can hope for.
So eating this feast cures you of sickness and nausea, gives you the benefits of neutralized poison and remove disease if you are diseased or poisoned anymore. And you get 1d8 temporary hit points per 2 caster levels, maximum plus 10. So at the level of the book, that would be 1d8 plus 10. So Louise, please roll the d8.
Here we go. The 5. So 15 temporary.
Nice. So you get 15 temporary hit points for 12 hours. And you get a plus 1 morale bonus to attack rolls and to will saves, plus 4 morale on saves against poison and fear, and plus 5 against alchemical against disease because of the addition of that delightful addition. So you guys are pretty buff. You can't really ask for a much better buff than Hero's Feast.
It's pretty good.
Are we gonna go in engorged with food with that penalty? Because we've waited another 2 hours, right?
Yeah, 3 hours, it takes the hour to eat the food, so you would still be engorged. If you eat one of your cookies, it counts as a day's worth of rest, which would remove it, or you could wait for another hour, 2 hours. For Louise, yours is still at, I rolled another 6. You're still at 3 hours for the total engorgement.
No.
Okay, but eating one of these cookies will get me up and running again.
It will remove the penalties from being engorged, yes.
And you should heal a little bit of ability damage, yeah?
Yeah, because it's like resting.
Okay. Anyone else have ability damage right now?
Nope. Do you want me to have lesser restoration?
No.
I think Param has 1 point, right, Param?
I ate a cookie.
Oh, so you have no points.
I have 1 point of dex damage.
Okay, well, one is not going to be...
Yeah, one is not a big deal. So I'm letting you know.
Also, eating the cookie, Louise, will regen your spells as if you'd rested for a night.
Oh, yes, I'm aware.
Oh, you're very aware.
So, and I will...
When you do that, you can either automatically re-prepare the spells you already had, or you can re-prepare your spells using the normal time. So, like, an hour to re-prepare your spells, whichever one you want to do.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Was that confusing?
Yeah. Yeah. No, no. I can either immediately get the same spells back or spend the time to get new spells.
Yes.
So I will do just that. I will first, though, cast Restoration upon myself and get rid of all that dex damage.
Oof. Look at this. Okay. You guys went from losing a fight that you couldn't have hoped to win to struggling through an entire part of a dungeon, and now you finally hit your stride and you're competent adventurers again.
Mm-hmm. And then I will take my two rounds to eat this cookie. Is it tasty? How tasty is it?
It tastes like your character's absolute favorite confection.
There we go. Okay. Getting all of these spells back.
I think we'll have about at least 10 minutes left on heroism then.
Sounds good.
Ready to go.
That being said, heroism and Hero's Feast don't stack.
Oh, that's a fair point. That's fair.
So I think heroism's is actually better for attack, as I think heroism is +2 and Hero's Feast is +1. Yeah. So if you have heroism, just remember that you use the heroism bonus until it runs out, and then you'll use the feast bonus. So which way are you going to go? You can go straight across the hall the way you came in. You can go to the north through the small doors, or you can go to the north through the big doors.
When that evil gingerbread witch came through those double doors, did we get a peek at what was in there?
Yeah, it looks like there's a shattered room, to be honest. I will... that's right, she did come in through there, so I will show you what that looked like.
Okay, and Biddle's going to try to remember the layout. I can roll a nat 20 for my lore check, so that's a 20.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's a 30, actually.
Oh, that's good.
So good idea.
Sure.
I'm just going to roll out some of that dough and let her just, like, draw a map in it. Then we can bake it and carry it with us.
So Biddle has never been upstairs because she knows that is St. Nicholas's kind of, like, more private area for him and his guests. It's like bedrooms and stuff. But she does know that through the single doors, there's a courtyard. And then going across the hallway, that would lead you to the... I'm trying to remember the exact name of it. Give me a second. It is the foyer for, like, sitting. And then the foyer has a room that goes into a study. And then to the back, there is a smaller room that's kind of like a... like going through the courtyard to the east, there is a small room that can only be accessed through the courtyard that is sort of like a planning center for St. Nick to get presents out to everybody. To the very far end, to the very north of the center, is a cathedral of dedicated to Odin. There's also a storage chamber to the west of that that will take you to his like general like store area for like any supplies they use to make toys. Then on the other side to the east, there's a stairwell that goes down to the basement that's also used for storage. And then on the other side of that stairwell is where St. Nicholas keeps his magic sleigh and where the reindeer are stabled.
Mm-hmm.
To the basement, as far as you know, is just like a storage area, and you don't know what's up top.
All right, so we got all that in the giant cookie that I'm having make for map purposes and not to eat a giant cookie later?
Yes.
Excellent.
Where should we head? I mean, Rangvold wouldn't mind maybe heading to that chapel and properly consecrating it if it's been desecrated.
That seems like a good goal.
Okay. Start
there. Maybe Odin will bless us.
Let's do it.
All right, let's go into the courtyard then.
Okay, to the courtyard.
First.
Let me reveal it to you. So the other thing you know, Biddle, is that the stairwells to the second floor are actually in the courtyard. Like, oh. you have to go outside and enjoy the beautiful terrace in order to go upstairs.
Okay.
Also, because St. Nick lives in a super cold demiplane, doesn't really bother him to go outside like that, so... He's like, it's fine.
The cold never bothered him anyway.
Careful.
I said non-copyright infringing musical numbers, Alex.
All right. So
I wish to have a potion bottle in my left hand right now.
Sure. A chill breeze whips through this outdoor area whose overgrown coniferous shrubs and trees give the space a feral, unkempt look. A thick layer of snow blankets the ground here, and many of the stones that make up the paths that connect this terrace's outdoor areas have been shattered as if by massive, heavy footsteps. Pools of wet blood rest within these stones, seemingly unaffected by the passage of time.
Ew.
That's not good.
Gruesome.
No, it is very gruesome.
I think I prefer the cookie monsters.
Oh, I'm... I'm sure.
Biddle is going to peer around looking for any hidden creatures with another nat 20 for a 32 before going into the courtyard.
That's a really high number.
It's a real good roll.
Tell me what kind of things you're looking for.
I'm looking for any creatures that would be hidden. She is really concerned because this is a much less hospitable place than the first time she was here. Nor the last. So she's looking for anything hidden in the bushes, hidden in the snow, things like that.
I gotcha. So with that in mind...
Depending on where they're hidden, minus
you
one
actually,
check, so per 10.
Let's see. So what did you roll?
32 total, and it's 55 feet to the furthest corner, depending on how far away any hidden things might be.
Right, gotcha. So you don't see anything. Okay. But as you open the door and you start looking around, a voice echoes in your head. It says, "Gaze upon the carnage of this place, mortals. Do you know what terrible act has transpired here?"
Did you guys hear that?
Did we hear that?
Yeah, you all hear it.
Oh. Yes.
So, you're not really sure where that voice is coming from.
Okay, that was disturbing. Do you want to go upstairs right now, or maybe we should check out one of the other rooms?
Let's go into a different room. This one looks like it's terrible.
Yeah, she's going to close the door. Do you want to go into the broken meeting room?
There weren't any of the doors out there in there besides the one that looked like it would go back into the terrible room.
But well, we out there, sure there was one. There was one door that goes to the chapel, and then there's one door that goes to the study, and then there are also there's also another door on the other side of the vista where you guys came in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but rather than going through there, I'm just thinking to look around to the room that witch came out of, the gingerbread witch came out of.
Mm-hmm.
That if that sounds good to people.
Sure.
Okay, let's go in there.
Okay. All right, Owen. You and I will go in together.
Mm-hmm.
One, two, three, push.
Nice. All right. Are you guys going in? You're still standing in the kitchen.
I mean, yes.
It doesn't sound like you're convinced that this is where you want to be.
No, it's where we want to be. We're going to creep through the room carefully. Another perception check looking for hidden things. Slightly less awesome. Only a 30.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to find anything that might be hiding in the room just to make sure we're safe.
Nice. So you enter the room and you hear a loud bing, bing, bing. As if you had triggered an alarm spell.
Oh, no.
And as you do, a woman appears with a goat next to her.
Uh-oh.
Wait, what?
What?
It's a different person, possibly.
Hello?
Mm.
We're here to dethrone the Krampus?
There we go. I figured it out.
Describe the woman and goat, please.
Sure. The woman has dark skin. She's wearing a very fancy-looking dress with very, like, popped-out shoulders. She's got a big wart on her chin. Her hair looks very nicely styled. And she's holding, in her pocket, she's got this, like, weird-looking, like, metallic, almost rod-looking thing. Her goat looks like it's a toy, like a giant, oversized doll.
Boy.
Yes.
It's like me.
Okay. And the usual question, Biddle, is it friend?
I don't know. Lore is going to give me 23.
You've never seen her before? She looks like she's half elf.
Mm. I don't know her. Probably not a friend. Hello there. Are you friends with Krampus, or are you his enemy?
She says, so you are the ones that have wrecked my coven.
Mm. Not a friend.
Not a
drink potion.
She is going to cast a spell when she sees that, so give roll me initiative.
Okay.
With pleasure.
All right, let's see.
Oh.
Roll me some initiative. Oh, that was a real number, guys.
I mean, if it's an imaginary number, you're using the wrong dice.
Uh-huh. Indeed.
Oh, that was also a real number. That one's much scarier than the first one.
Oh, boy.
Hey, well, guess who gets to go first?
Yeah, she does. She is going to start by casting her spell when she sees Oren go for his potion bottle. And she says, I think not. And she waves her hands around, and all four of you need to give me a will save.
No.
Is this, let's see, is this...
It is a compulsion, mind-affecting effect.
Is it fear?
No.
Don't forget, you get plus one from Hero's Feast, or plus two if you have heroism. So I got an 18.
All right.
Oh, no.
How'd you do?
I rolled a natural one again. I'm terrible at this. All right, so an 8.
13.
12.
Oh, well, life just got really bad for you guys.
Game over.
You are all affected by a heightened confusion spell.
Oh boy, good stuff.
Congratulations, you have the confused condition. Life is life for you guys, I suppose. On the next round goes to the familiar. It swells in size and becomes a medium creature.
Molazol.
And now it is Rangvald's turn. Hey, right. It's almost like you figured out the strategy of what all of these witches have in common for being in the coven.
Let me look at... Let me roll my confusion here.
I got it pulled up here if you're ready.
Yeah, I'm doing it. Let's see. We'll do green and then red. 94!
You attack the nearest creature.
Sure thing.
That would be either Ornn or Renori. They're equally. So roll randomly.
Yeah, all right. Odds is Renori. Even, it's 6. Sorry, Ornn, that's okay.
No, it's not.
No, it's really bad for you, because confusion is going to make you beat him to the death. Make him beat you to the death.
We'll see. I'm not going to necessarily do good. Oh, I actually rolled okay. Let me just figure out what that is. It's not much. I just hit him with a book. It's fine. It's all fine. 27.
I like how you roll better to hit your friend than most of them.
Yes, fine. I just switched die. Then I did maximum damage. All right, 11 points of damage. Ornn.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, right. So it is Biddle's turn.
Hey, don't do that. You are a bad witch. She's going to use Kinetic Blast on... Oh,
aren't you confused?
I'm sorry, yes. So I rolled a 10, which I believe is act normally.
Correct.
Yes, you act normally.
Cool. So she doesn't know she's confused yet. she is going to toss a chair at the witch. Let's see. 19 to hit.
19 will miss her.
Yeah.
She kind of steps out of the way and says, throwing furniture, how uncouth.
And, well, you're a stupid head, so there. And then Biddle's going to take a 5-foot step toward her friends.
Her one eyebrow raises, like,
She's going to take a 5-foot step towards her friends and be like, you two, just stop fighting. What's wrong with you? What has come over you? And that's it.
Renori, your turn. How do you act this turn?
Well, I also attack nearest creature. so wish me luck attacking Rainbow, I guess.
That would
17.
That will not hit me.
Okay. Wow, the advantages of being a poor BAB caster in this situation, am I right?
Yeah, yep. Real advantage. You get to waste your turn.
Delightful. Next round goes to Ornn. You have just been struck by this boy. Roll for your...
No, I don't roll anything. Yep. According to confusion, I have to smash boy now.
Yep. Yeah.
Sorry.
It's okay. Biddle, since she can still act normally for the moment, is going to wave her little frosty cestus in your direction and be like, hey, knock that off. So Rangvald gets a plus 5 on AC.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I rolled a 29 to hit Rangvald.
Oh my god, that's exactly what you need to hit me.
I guess I will do In Harm's Way.
Oh no, Biddle.
Immediate action.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Biddle, I am going to be dealing 23 damage to you.
Oh good, that's a miss.
All right. Wow. So that's fortunate. Next round goes to her. No, it's still Ornn's turn. So Ornn just attacked her. Now it's her turn. Got it. Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. Life is confusing. She's just kind of sitting there laughing. She's like, oh, how easily you dance like puppets to an unseen song. And I guess to follow up such a great comeback, she's going to say, I suppose we might as well make the boy look his part. And she's going to snap his fingers and cast a spell targeting Ornn. Give me a will save, Ornn. This is a compulsion, emotion, mind-affecting spell.
23.
You missed by one.
No!
You are dazed.
Are you taking the plus 2 from heroism or the plus 1 from...
Yeah.
Heroism, okay.
The plus. You are dazed. You drop your sword. As your nails and teeth elongate and sharpen, you gain a bite attack and two claw attacks that deal 1d6 points of damage each. And for the remainder of the spell, you behave as if under rage and confusion, attacking with your natural weapons in preference to all other actions.
Oh, great.
So you are dazed for this round, and then on the next round, you are now a delightful little werebeast.
Oh, boy.
All right. The goat is going to move. Go. He's going to go 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. And he's going to go up there, and he's going to kick Biddle.
Okay.
I believe it misses you, though. It's only a 14.
It does, but it gets Biddle's confused attention.
Yes. Rangvald, you're up.
All right. Guess I have to attack Orin because he attacked me?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. All right. Here we go.
You also could attack Renori because Renori attacked you.
True. What do I do?
I think Orin was the most roll recent. Randomly. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Great. I hit you. I rolled really good. I'm rolling really good now. Let's switch back to the bad die.
That's fantastic. I'm so glad to hear that.
Four points.
Biddle, it's your turn.
Well, it's Biddle's turn. I guess she's going to attack this goat. So I was looking at confusion. It says I have to attack the goat. Do I have to punch it with a melee weapon, or can I blast it?
I've always played it that you use your best attacks to your the best of your ability.
All right. Well, that's not so horrible.
Well, it's horrible when it's your friend and you're Orin swinging a great sword at
it. That is true. Can I do so defensively, or do I just blast it straight in the face?
I'd say you could do it defensively.
Cool. So I succeed at that, but I'll still provoke because rain?
It rolls a 20... Oh, that's a number. A 24 to hit you.
That's the magic number.
Oh, right. At least now you know for sure that it's really gotten your attention, and it's probably deserved. However, it's only 6 points of damage, so I doubt that pops your bubble.
It doesn't. It's starting to dent into Hero's Feast, though.
Mmm.
Cool, but I'm still going to make an attack against it. Where are the dice?
Well, it wouldn't dent into Hero's Feast. It would dent into your kinetic shield, because those hit points are always less first.
Right, so 2 points off of that, 4 points into Hero's Feast, because my buddy took care of my Force Ward.
Gotcha.
But it's going to be a 28 right to its face.
That hits it.
As one of these broken pieces of table tries to do slashing damage to it. Let's see. 20, 30, 5 points of slashing damage.
It doesn't like that.
Good. I don't like it either.
Parts of the toy fall apart. Yeah. It's still alive, though. Renori, your turn. I don't believe anyone punched you, so you still get to roll to see what you do.
Yeah. I get to act normally.
Okay.
Oh, I'm hoping you have dispel magic.
All right. 5-foot step back.
Good call.
I will cast Dispel Magic on... Ringfold has one effect. Orin has two effects. I'm going to do so on Biddle.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I grab my Dispel Magic scroll. Here we go. DC. The DC is 11 plus the spell's caster level.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a 25.
So not high enough for Hero's Feast.
That is high enough for the confusion effect, though. So okay. Biddle is no longer confused. Everybody else is still confused.
Fantastic.
All right. Orin.
Well, Orin still has to smash.
Orin's dazed.
Orin's dazed. Orin doesn't dazed. Smash nothing.
Yeah, no. Orin is this turn, he's okay. It's next turn that things are going to get bad. Because he's not smashing. He's ripping and rending. So with that... her eyes narrow and say, "A witch? How droll." She flicks her finger and says, "I'll have none of that." And Renori needs to give me a will save. You can give me a spellcraft check if you want, since you're acting normally.
22 for the spellcraft.
22. Let me think. I don't think that's high enough. No, it's not.
Okay, will save.
Give me a will save. You can do it. I believe in you.
14.
With a 13, that... 14. A 14?
Yes, I don't think that makes much of a difference, but
that's really bad. Your intelligence and charisma drops to 1.
No.
With that, the goat is gonna kick at Biddle again because it worked so well last time. Biddle, does a 27 hit you?
It sure does.
You take 10 points of damage, Biddle.
There goes the temp from Hero's Feast.
Rangvald, you're up.
All right, no one has attacked me since I've gone, so my confusion is just confusing.
Yes. Thank goodness that you were dazed. Dazed.
Yep, I babble.
Blah blah blah. it's a holy passages of Odin taken completely out of context and order.
Yes.
Biddle, you're up.
I have a dumb idea.
I'm down with dumb ideas.
All right, Biddle is going to attempt to bull rush Ringwald.
Okay.
Oh, please, roll well. I have a horrible bonus. Ooh, that's good. That's a 17 on die, plus my tiny little plus 6 is a 23. Does a 23 bull rush you?
It sure does.
Fantastic.
22 is the number.
All right. So I'm going to push you 5 feet away. I'm going to take your spot there. And that is my standard action. And she stands there with her little paws out going, "Stop it, you two! Stop fighting! What's gotten over you, Orn?"
All right, Vernori, you are confused, and also you have an intelligence and and charisma of 1.
Oh. I hurt myself in my confusion.
Okay. Orin, your turn. You can roll your number and tell us what you get. Orin, so you are now a horrible little bear child.
I still have to attack the little boy, though, so...
He did not attack you last turn.
I didn't attack you last turn.
Yeah, you just have to break him for a round, which we did.
Okay, yay. I get to act normally.
Well, normally for a horrific lycanthropic bear boy.
Well, the horrible lycanthropic bear boy now wants to eat goat.
Delicious.
Okay, so I get 2 claw attacks and a bite attack?
Uh-huh. They do d6 each.
Okay, so I'm going to go
and you're also under the effect of a rage spell.
So I get plus 4 strength and plus 4 constitution?
2.
Oh, plus 2?
Yeah.
Okay. In that case, I am going to power attack this goat using all my natural attacks. 22 to hit the goat?
A 22 does not hit the goat. It dodges you.
Okay, so I did not bite the goat. A 21 to hit the goat?
It misses.
All right. A 27 to hit the goat?
That one hits.
Okay.
That's a tough goat.
It is a tough goat.
Was one of your rolls a 25?
Yes.
That one hits. I'm sorry. I forgot that having being enlarged reduces his AC.
So that's 2d6 plus... I'm sorry, I'm trying to figure out my strength bonus on this attack, because it's not one I have, like, written down.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's plus 6 strength. Okay, so that's... okay, so d6 plus 6 plus... d6 plus 6 plus 9.
Okay.
So it's a d6 plus 15 on each hit. So that's a 16 on the first hit.
All right. The 16 damage is something that it really doesn't like, but it's got to live with.
Okay. And a 22 on the second hit.
The goat is destroyed, reduced to a horrible little pile of toy parts. She crosses her eyes and says, how terribly droll of you.
She crosses her eyes?
Yeah, or narrows, I'm sorry.
Roar.
She crosses her arms and narrows her eyes.
Sorry, I'm thinking her tactics plus trying to roleplay her at the same time. It's kind of tough. It's her turn. She is going to pull out what looks like a marionette stick. She is going to 5-foot step back over here, and she's just going to start kind of waddling it back and forth. Right, so now it's going to be Rangvald's turn.
Does a bull rush count as an attack?
Yes.
All right, so I guess I got to try to smack Biddle.
Sure. Yes.
Get off me, you weird bear toy. Not great. 18. Probably not hit you.
No, 18 does it.
Oh, it does hit you. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, wait, this is an attack. I was stuck on bull rush. 18 will miss, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Clunk right off of my plated jacket.
Biddle, it's your turn.
All right, yeah, you just keep massaging that spot. That's fine. she is gonna take, this is horrible, pieces of the reindeer and throw them at the witch.
Oh man,
I know, it's rude, it's really rude, but it's only an 18, so it probably misses.
An 18 absolutely misses.
Yay.
Alright, next round goes to Renori.
I babble incoherently.
Okay, Orin, your turn.
Oh, Orin's gonna just get on all 4 paws and rush across this broken table to charge that witch.
I mean, you're still confused.
If I'm able to do it, which I'm totally not able to do it.
Aww. What do you do instead?
Instead, I hurt myself.
Aww.
So you get ready to start doing that, and you slam face first into that broken part of the table.
Right, and I hurt myself for 12 points of damage.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. It's her turn. As she finishes moving around her marionette's thing, cords fly off of it, and they attach one onto each of Orm's arms, one on each leg, and one onto his head. Give me a will save.
I'm really glad I took those wheel feats.
Yeah.
Not that glad right now, though.
Oh, no.
How'd you do?
A 14?
You are connected. All of a sudden, his rage, like his face, he still looks angry and filled with rage, but his expression changes so that it almost looks like it's stuck there. And his body gets really, like, limp and artificial. And she's like, excellent. And she starts manipulating the puppeteer strings. Ragnvald, your turn.
Okay, no one's attacked me. So here we go. Here's hoping. Oh, not great. I think that is the hurt myself. Myself.
All right, Biddle, you're up.
6 points.
All right, let's toss more fragments of table at this lady. Ooh, that's a real number, as you like to say. That's a 30 to hit.
A 30 will hit her.
Fantastic. 20, 30. 39 points of what's called bludgeoning damage.
Wow, you even burned through her false life spell.
Yeah, take that, you big meanie. Leave my friend alone.
Oh, right. Vernori, your turn.
Well, I can act normally.
Yes.
I'm as dumb as an animal at this point.
Actually, you're dumber than... it depends on the animal. You're actually dumber than a dog, because a dog would have intelligence of 2. You're about as smart as, like, a cave vermin, like one of those giant beetles that the Duergar always ride.
I don't think
that helped you, so I apologize.
I'm unable to use intelligence or charisma-based skills to cast spells. I know who my friends are, and I can follow them and even protect them.
Yes.
So I'm going to check something really quick. She's further away. I will rush forward past Biddle, because I don't know any better at this point. And then I will just kind of growl and huff and look at this lady with anger, and hopefully she's befallen with misfortune.
Oh, you could still misfortune her. Oh, you're not completely... I'm sitting here going like, oh man, that was so mean. I can't believe he failed. He's not going to be able to do anything for the rest of the game now. You could still hex. oh, right. So,
18.
She rolls a 30.
Okay.
Orin, you're up. So here's how it works. You still have to roll for confusion, but if you act normally, then she gets to choose your actions because you're dominated.
Oh, man.
I rolled attack the nearest creature.
That's perfectly acceptable to her. I believe that would be Biddle.
That's yeah. Right.
Sorry, Biddle.
It's okay.
23 to hit you.
Miss.
Oh, sorry, 33.
That is a different number entirely.
All right. 38 to hit you. And a 34 to hit you.
Wow, yep, those are all numbers.
Are all hits. Yikes.
Mm-hmm. For 16 damage, 18 damage, and 19 damage.
All right, stuffing goes everywhere.
Man, so I never had a monster that could hurt Biddle, but turns out the secret was just to use Param. Wow, look at that.
It takes a bear to kill a bear.
That's true. Gosh, what is she gonna do? She's pretty like content with how this is going. She kind of looks like she's like well, this is going swimmingly. She is going to draw a. You know, like, why would she even bother with that? Like, yeah, no, she's just like, okay, whatever. She is going to. Nah, she's just gonna not do anything. She's just gonna wait. Ragnvald, you're up.
Alright, see how I do. No one's attacked me.
She's like, when they say in school about the overpowered wizard, she's like, I'm pretty sure this is what my teachers were talking about.
Alright, I babble incoherently.
Delightful.
After I smack myself in the face with a book last turn.
Biddle, you're up.
I'm deciding.
This must not be easy.
Well, considering I only have 20 real points left before I fall unconscious, I think I will heal myself.
Do it.
And I will use single target and not heal everybody, because I think I'm the only person that's really taking a lot of damage. I can do so defensively, check. I roll really bad, but that's still 29 points of healing.
Oh, that's a lot.
And 9 points of force ward back, and 9 points of burn.
Vernori, you're up.
I'll stay right.
Okay. I attack the nearest target.
No, right in the middle.
No, this is what she wanted, though.
This is Biddle.
Well, yeah, it helps us not just murder each other.
17 to hit you.
Good out, Robin.
Okay, that's it.
All right, Orin, roll. If you act normally, she will control you.
I gotta act normally.
She's gonna have you beat the stuffing out of Biddle.
Oh,
looking sorry, for Biddle. Armor class
She wants you to use power attack.
Okay.
So. I want to bodyguard myself.
I need to roll to confirm the critical hit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
A 25 to confirm the critical hit?
It confirms. However, I have fortification. I have 40% fortification. So let me roll percentage dice. 31. It is not a critical.
Okay.
The second hit is a 33.
Yeah, that's a hit.
And the third hit's a 30 even.
Yep, those are all a bunch of hits. This okay. is gonna hurt.
20 damage. 20 damage. 21 damage.
Wow. 61 damage. That will knock Biddle unconscious.
And begin.
Here we go. All
right. Biddle is unconscious.
Biddle is unconscious.
In the back, she laughs. She's having a grand old time. Yeah, so she is going to swish her cloak and disappear. She's like, I don't need to see this. This is fine. You guys can beat yourselves up. And with that, it is now Rangvald's turn.
All right, here we go. Green first. Miss. God dang it. Babble again with the babble.
All right. Biddle is unconscious. Renori is up.
I can act normally.
Congratulations.
Okay. I can still do this. I will use a healing hex.
Oh.
On Biddle. So,
I like it.
That is 19 hit points that you recover.
I'm conscious.
Delightful.
Just kind of stare blankly at you.
Orin's turn.
Orin babbles incoherently.
So I'd like to point out at this point, you've officially reached the halfway point to running out confusion's duration.
Oh, good.
We'll be fine.
All right. Rangvald, you're up.
That is just above... That's just at the low end of Babel. So close to being able to act normally in one of these fights.
Biddle, you're conscious.
Mm-hmm. Well, she's gone, so I just have me.
Yep.
I think I can still out-heal my own burn, so we're just going to do that again. Or another. Let me see if I can do it defensively. I cannot. So I don't necessarily
think you need to be defensive, because
confused
people can't make attacks of opportunity anyway.
Well,
unless you hit me first, and then I'm allowed to.
Okay. Cool. Then I'm just going to heal myself and stand up. So 20, 34. I get some points.
Oh, boy. I really am glad, because I'm not sure how 7-year-old Orin would have dealt with having murdered all his friends.
Vernori is up.
I can act normally. I don't know what else I can do. No one's in trouble.
I'm really lucky with my rolls all right now.
Mm-hmm.
I see Biddle standing up, and I just smile.
Okay.
I'm done.
Orin, you're up.
All right, let's see what I'm doing. I'm acting normally. What do I do, Alex?
She wants you to kill all of your allies.
Okay.
You will get a will saving throw because you're acting normally and being forced to do something you wouldn't normally do.
Okay. I rolled a 13.
Oh, now he rolls a 13.
Nope, you will kill all of your allies whenever you get to act normally.
Do I get to pick my ally or does it have to be Biddle?
You can pick whomever you want.
Pick me. Don't kill other people, please.
I mean, realistically, he might actually miss Rangvald, especially with your aiding.
That's true.
All right, so I'm going to go over and claw, bite Rangvald. 23 to hit Rangvald?
Nope.
Yeah, you get...
Not even without the aid.
You get aid on all three of those. All
right.
A 24 to hit Rangvald?
Thanks for the aid. That's a miss.
A 36 to hit Rangvald?
Oh, sure, that'll hit me.
Yeah. Biddle's gonna let him take it, because strategy.
Yeah, I got temporary hit points.
And 17 damage to Rangvald.
I don't have temporary hit points anymore.
Alright, you're on round 7. Good job, guys. Next up is Rangvald.
Alright, I gotta try to smack the feral bear child.
Yep.
With my book. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. 26.
That will hit me.
Alright. 9 damage.
I am out of temporary hit points.
Biddle is not intervening at this point. Biddle has a new plan.
let us fight each other to we fall asleep.
This is a great goal. All right, is that your turn then?
Yeah, that's my turn.
Biddle, you're up.
Alright, so Biddle's going to inch away from her fighting friends, realizing that they're under horrible magical compulsion, and take one of, I don't know, if there's a cushion of a chair, something soft, doesn't really matter, to try and hit Orin with. So this is a blast for non-lethal, so I'm going to have to take a minus four for that, a minus four because he's in melee, and I'm hoping to do well, but I rolled a nat 20.
Hey.
Critical Orin.
Does a 23 confirm?
It's a touch attack, right?
No, it's a regular AC 23. But you are raging.
Which is minus two.
That will confirm.
Fantastic. Let me roll 10d6 plus 38 and see if you're unconscious. 40.
That is a beautiful number, by 50, the way.
50, 60, 70. Even 70 non-lethal damage.
Wow.
I am not unconscious.
Well, at least it was non-lethal.
Yeah. Oh
my God. I'm barely standing.
But I'm Tish. Okay. Lenore, you're up.
I got to roll to see what I do first.
Is that including getting a plus two to your con perm from raging?
They've already chewed through that.
Okay.
I babble incoherently.
All right. Orin, you're up. You were just attacked by
Bill. I have to attack the bear.
Well, actually, Rangvald is closer, and he attacked you last round.
I have to attack Rangvald. Grr, Rangvald, grr. I need to re-roll that. Okay, so that is a 32.
Yep.
A 23.
No, miss.
And a 30.
Yes, two hits. Two big hits.
19 damage, 20 damage.
Alrighty. Hurting. Really hurting.
Rangvald, you're up.
Alright, here we go, kid. 20. It's a miss, probably.
It's a just barely a miss with rage.
Biddle.
Oh, goodness. Okay. We're going to do regular lethal damage to make sure we land this, and we're going to throw the leg of a chair at Orm. 20 to hit?
No.
Vernori.
Cool.
I hurt myself.
Oh, no.
But I deal one non-lethal damage to myself.
Oh, my gosh.
Orn.
I continue the smashing on the little boy.
Okay, don't... Well...
No, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's actually easier 20... if you die and I bring you back.
That's true.
28?
I get brought back. Yes, that's a hit.
Okay. Rolling to confirm the critical hit.
Oh, God.
28?
Yep.
Okay. 24?
That is just a hit.
Okay, so the first hit is
totally 20,
21 points of damage.
Okay, that puts me unconscious.
Oh.
The dog is not happy about that.
Then 21 points of damage.
Okay, that probably kills me.
You gotta keep track of the number for her Breath of Life ability.
Oh, gosh.
Well, would you 5-foot step and keep attacking if...
You definitely could, Param.
Okay, so, I'm gonna, instead of killing him off since he's unconscious, I move and put that damage on the bear.
What was the hit, 24 or higher?
Every roll was 24.
Okay, fantastic. How much damage then?
This was 21 points of damage on this hit.
Fun, okay.
And this was the crit.
Oh, geez.
I didn't even take the crit. Oh, no.
Crit is negated. I rolled a 6.
Okay, good. Then instead you only took 17 points of damage.
Great. So, 17 points. I am still conscious. Haha.
Okay, good.
It is good.
All right. Rangvald is unconscious. Give me stabilization, please.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's see. Con. 12 total. So I think that stabilized, right? It's a 10 DC 10 check. I haven't done this in a while.
It's 10 minus 1 for every negative hit point you have.
Yeah, no, I did that. I rolled a 14, and I'm at minus 2, so I got a 12 total. Okay. So
then you did it.
I'm stable.
Biddle.
Oh, boy. You said Orin's looking really bad?
Yeah, Orin is barely standing.
Cool. I'm going to do something dumb. I'm going to just try to punch you, I think.
You could bite him.
Well, but I have this cool plus one frost transformative cestus, so...
Oh, yeah.
Those are really good rolls. The first one's a 16 plus 8 is 24.
That's a hit.
Cool. So this thing is going to do 1 point of physical damage and 3 points of frost damage. You still up?
My second
hit was a nat 20.
Okay.
but only a 14 to confirm, so I'm sure it's just a regular hit.
Right.
But this one's 2 physical and 6 frost.
I am at negative 6 hit points.
Fantastic. She punches you out with her cestus.
Vernori, you are confused.
starts to make her way around over here.
I will attack the nearest target. Oh, wait, no, hold on. That's the wrong one. No, I hurt myself instead.
She's like, wow, let me try.
Which is the nearest target, me. All right, I'm done.
Orin, stabilize for me.
I'm not in danger of dying. Most of this is non-lethal.
Because I have a crap ton of non-lethal on him, so...
Frank, oh, yeah, you're just unconscious.
Biddle. Renori is the only target that remains Biddle.
She's going to decide not to hurt her friends. She's going to, roll Orin out of the way and just stand there and wait for her to be finished.
Okay, Renori's turn.
I hurt myself again.
How many more rounds of confusion?
How much damage did you do yourself, Renori?
2. Having a negative strength is really helping me out here.
All right. After Renori's turn, Renori, your senses return to you, but Orin still has bear claws and like a big bear face.
Yeah.
How long do you wait?
I say we roll him back into the kitchen and shut the doors.
All right, so as soon as you drop him off into the kitchen, you see the effects going away. It only had one more round left. Okay. She cast it on the round after she hit you all of confusion.
Yeah. Yes.
So, congratulations, you survived!
Ooh, barely.
Hey, look. But, no one died.
Yeah. She, almost. You know what? She definitely could have stayed and confirmed the kill, but she was just like, whatever. She's like, why am I going to bother with this? Just goodbye. So, yeah, nobody's dead. I wonder how long Vanessa is going to let Orin stay unconscious before she, actually starts healing him.
A little while, yeah. Probably yeah. About 10 minutes as she eats one of her cookies.
Those magic cords seem to go away after you're done eating your cookie in 10 minutes. Yeah, it's about 12 minutes in total, to be honest. It is definitely not as long or as deadly as actual Dominate Person, but it was still delightful. It was absolutely delightful. Param, you made an excellent marionette.
I'm really glad I was able to murder my friends for you, Alex.
It was wonderful. You did all the work. Why should I make my own fighters when I could just take yours?
See, I even planned to try to prevent this nonsense, which is why you may have noticed that I have an unusually high will save for a fighter.
I'm very proud of you. You just rolled awful. It's the same as Renori rolling a natural one against Feeble Mind. It's life. Sometimes it happens.
All my saving throws on will saves were like literally, oh, there's a 3. There's a 4.
Yeah. So how are the 4 of you looking? How is your pain going? Have we figured out a way to get Louise unfeeble-minded?
The thing I had thought of is if we kill Renori and bring her back, it'll end all the spell effects on her, which includes Feeble Mind.
That's true. How do you feel about this, Louise?
It's a very dark and gruesome way to fix this.
Well, I think someone of my intelligence wouldn't just stand around while someone else tries to kill her.
I mean, I feel like somebody of any intelligence wouldn't just stand around while someone tries to kill them.
Oh, I think I would start trying to run away if that were to start happening.
Yeah, I think anything would start trying to run away if you started trying to murder it. Like, that's kind of stimulus response. I think even at intelligence 1, you would do that.
But well, it's not a spell effect, though.
What?
For what?
Is it? Like, Feeble Mind, it's instantaneous. It's done. It's not still in place.
It's not permanent? I thought it was a permanent spell.
Nah, you need something like Heal, Limited Wish, or Miracle to get rid of it.
Well, to get rid of it, but it's... yep. No, you're right. The duration's instantaneous. It wouldn't fix it. Eek.
Yeah, life is bad.
Life is bad.
This is why it's pretty great that hexes apparently still work.
They're not spells.
So. I know. They do not fall, and they don't require a minimum intelligence to use. So I know your interpretation is accurate and very useful. Hopefully there's something in this dungeon that could help.
But yeah, I think that's going to be the way we'll have to take care of Orin. Feed him his own cookie. He'll get rid of all that non-lethal.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Heal up some regular hit points, and then we'll just try to heal him traditionally.
You totally. It appears that the witch has left that room. She was pretty confident in your ability to destroy each other.
Aha! She should have known we're big failures.
I don't know if you were failures. You were pretty successful.
Yeah.
Hey, Param. So how's Orin doing after eating one of his own cookies?
Well, that makes me awake again.
Because it would have been after the Dominate and the Fusion had worn off.
Right. So after that, I am...
He only 18 hit points, plus get rid of all the non-lethal.
Okay, yeah, that's about where it puts me. Right. I'm at 18 hit points. So I am very, very wounded, but awake.
Well, you should have more than that, right? because I did 70 non-lethal, so that just goes away.
Oh, and 18 roll it? Oh, I'm actually fully healthy then.
That's what I
thought. Yeah, the your lethal damage was the only actual damage that wasn't eaten by temporary hit points.
Okay, cool.
Well, nice.
So that'll heal you. Biddle's mostly healed from eating the cookie. I put my last 2 points of burn back into my buffer so I'd have them for the next day, air quote. The biggest thing is what to do about Renori and Rangvald. With Rangvald, I think we should just stand there with the wand and just like...
Yeah, that'll do it eventually.
And then you can tap yourself.
Mm-hmm. I only need one tap to get conscious again.
Okay, well, I can do it without failings this time, so that'll be 5 points, and then you can tap yourself the rest and let me know how many you use.
Yeah.
So, Renori is kind of, like, wandering around the room, and she's still feeble-minded, but as she goes around, like, there's a bag in the corner over towards the south end, and where you couldn't have just seen it peeking into the room, but there's, like, a big sack, and when she walks over and, like, picks it up and starts like holding it and then like brings it back to Biddle.
Okay, Biddle definitely looks through it.
So I can't really say what's in there, but all of Louise's equipment, adult equipment, is in there.
Oh, well.
From his original character.
Oh, that's not going to help too much, unfortunately.
Cool, we're going to loot all your awesome stuff that you've been wanting all game. And we'll never have had a chance to use.
Never see it.
Biddle's going to start going through it with Rangvald, trying to see if between the two of them they think they can use any of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Keep talking.
Another wand to cure light wounds. Or 2 wands, actually. 2 full wands.
Hooray!
Full wands of cure light wounds. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to add those to my magic. Actually, why don't, Jason, if you want to add them to your gear?
2? Yeah, I can do that.
Because you can use them without having to make a check.
Yeah.
I mean, Louise can still technically use a wand, I think. I don't think Feeble Mind stops you from doing that.
I probably wouldn't know how to do that, though. Like, I wouldn't think of doing that.
That's fair. Mm-hmm. All right, so what's your plan now?
I need, like, another 20 minutes to heal myself. I'm rolling all these d8s. There we go, that's a little better.
Is there any well-labeled scrolls, Louise?
Even if, no, like, I had a scroll of comprehend languages and air bubble, and yeah, not much else. I had a lot of little things, like alchemist fires and thunderstones and mundane things.
And you think you wouldn't recognize those, probably?
What's that?
You think you probably wouldn't recognize what to do with those things?
Probably not.
That's true.
If you give a wand to a dog, would the dog be able to use the wand?
Not the wand. I was thinking like the alchemist fire and stuff, the basic stuff where all you have to do is throw it.
If I put an alchemist fire on the counter, a cat would just knock it over.
There you go.
That'd be pretty.
We might need to, like, Louise, you might need to, like, go into melee combat for a fight and get yourself killed.
No, it's essentially.
Thing is, I wouldn't do that instinctively.
And we also decided that, figured out it probably wouldn't work because it's instantaneous, not a permanent.
Oh, because, okay. Oh, geez.
Yeah.
So we need to find a miracle. We need to pray for a miracle.
Or heal.
Or heal. Yeah.
Okay.
So I just kind of hold Biddle's hand.
Okay. All right. We'll just go along together. Well, then after Rangfald's feeling better, is Renori hurt at all?
No, I took.
Just
I
could,
I couldn't hurt myself enough to get rid of my temporary hit points.
That's good.
So what's your plan next? Are you going to go into the horrible oozing Terrence, or are you going to go through the double doors?
I mean, I think Rangvald would suggest that the healing power of Odin might be able to cure Renori.
It could. So,
I mean, you know, he is pretty confident in that.
Yeah.
Because he's a man of God. So I will boldly step into the courtyard when everyone is ready to go. Voices don't scare me.
You have returned. Why is this?
We wish to pass through here. We mean you no harm unless you are evil.
What is evilness?
The opposite of good?
Are these not abstractions that your mortal minds have conjured to make yourselves feel complete?
Pretty sure not.
Now, there is good and there is evil. Goodness is to help people and to heal them and to help them grow and survive, whereas evil does the exact opposite.
As you speak, the blood between the stones on the ground starts to ripple, and it coalesces into a creature that looks like this.
Blah.
Tell me, what does your intentions of good and evil say of me? It is a giant, like, muddy brown slash red ooze looking creature that's wreathed in bones and rib cages with a skull at the very top of its pseudopod like a head.
Well, your appearance may be horrifying to us. If you don't mean us any harm, then we mean you no harm. We only wish to pass through here.
Harm is relative. What you would say hard as a harm, I would say as survival. Roll initiative.
No, jerk. Where'd that button go? There it is. Yes. Yes. Oh my god, really? 28? Okay.
Yep. Turns out this ooze has a +10 initiative modifier. It's going to roil and its globs kind of boil over. Give me a will save, Ragnvald.
All right.
29.
18.
An 18.
Unless it's some kind of fear effect, then.
It is a fear effect.
Oh, then that's another 4, I believe. So 22.
A ghastly, ghostly image of the Krampus comes out of the roiling mud and dirt that makes up this creature, and it steps out towards you, and, like, you could feel your knees shaking in fear, but, like, as it reaches out for you, like, you have this epiphany because you are a hero consuming a hero's feast, and you realize that this creature is not real. So even as it reaches out to grab you by the neck, it just kind of passes harmlessly through you. Other of you have seen anything.
I hold my book up, basically, in front of it, just like, be gone!
That's the most important meal of the day.
Do you have a spellcraft, Ragnvald? Do you know what that was?
I do have spellcraft. I mean, I have a suspicion of what that was, as a player. That's a 31 spellcraft check.
It just tried to cast a quickened, it tried to just cast a phantasmal killer on you.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, so that's its turn. It's now your turn, Ragnvald. You can give me knowledge dungeoneering to know about this creature.
That's the one knowledge I don't have.
You might never know who in the office to thank for this monster, then.
Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to step up to it and touch it.
Oh, no.
And learn all I can about it.
Does that provoke an attack of opportunity? Is it a spell?
Well, the movement would, wouldn't it?
If it's got reach. Oh, it does have reach. Yeah, never mind. Just going to slam you.
Okay. Do it.
Does a 38 touch you?
Sure. Touch.
Not like touch, but like...
It does hit me. You have hit me with it.
Does its pseudopod connect with your body?
It does punch me with a pod.
Oh, shoot. I rolled a 19. That's an 18. Oh, man. I was one away from critical threat. That's going to be a total of 19 damage regular. Do you take negative energy?
I mean, I don't see why I wouldn't.
No, you might have death now. Oh, I rolled double sixes. That's 12 negative energy, too.
Oh, yeah. Jesus. All right. What have I done? All right. Terrific.
You are covered in gross, disgusting mud and bile, and it feels like it's sapping the very life out of your body.
Oh! That's like a 23 to touch.
Touch.
All right. So I basically gain information as if I had succeeded the appropriate knowledge skill check with a result equal to 24 plus 24.
Oh, right. So the 24, that would get you one question.
All right.
It's a one question.
Okay. Is this thing evil?
Yes.
What's its alignment? Can I just ask what its alignment is?
Yeah, it is. I will tell you that without spending a question. It is a neutral evil medium ooze called a grave sludge.
Hopefully.
This is a degenerate version of it, so it is not as strong as a typical one.
Okay. You say medium ooze?
Yes, so let me shrink him. I don't know why I thought he was large.
He wouldn't have gotten an attack of opportunity when he was moving in, because he wouldn't have reach.
Yeah, so you can take that energy back.
Well, the main power is a spell-like ability, SP, so... I guess it would still get one on me. I don't know. Unless I try to do it defensively?
Yeah, try to do it defensively.
Let me try to do it defensively. I have combat casting.
And if you fail, you'll take all that damage.
If I fail, I won't cast the spell. I won't do it. And then I won't get this information, which I haven't asked for yet.
I'm rewriting the rules so that I can still punch you.
Well, I didn't do it because I rolled a 1 on my combat casting.
All right, you have no idea what this is, but you don't have any of that damage.
Hooray! But I did. I'm up in its face.
Yeah. Biddle, you're up. Its bones look like it's made from the bones of a bunch of small creatures.
Gross. Well, it's made of bones, and bones don't like positive energy. I mean, the energy of Yule. So she is going to use a positive blast against it. This is a ranged touch. 29.
That will hit it.
Fantastic. Is it affected by positive energy?
It is.
Oh, good. I'm glad I guessed right and didn't waste my turn and my very good roll. It's only going to be a 24 points of damage, though.
It did not like that. It screams, "Ah!
Go away, mean thing. Go back to the grave or wherever it is bones you're supposed to go to."
Vernori, you are up.
Okay. I squeeze Biddle's hand out of fear. Cause I don't know what's going on. Okay, so my score... It isn't damage, it's literally dropped to one. So, that means my DC on my hexes is not what I thought it was. Okay, so I still look at it. It's a DC 9 will save, or become misfortune.
Well, I only rolled a 4, but it has a plus 11.
Oh. So no.
Okay, I'm done.
Oh, right. Is it misfortune for one round, or just not at all?
It's not affected at all.
Orin, you're up.
In this case, Orin is going to drink that potion.
Okay, what potion?
Oh, yeah, he never did drink that potion.
It's enlarged person. And then Orin is going to stand here.
Boom, boom, boom.
And that's the end of Orin's turn.
It's its turn. All right, so it didn't manage to do what it wanted, but now it's got a giant boy in its face. The life energy is strong from you, bear creature.
You should have seen me 10 minutes ago.
Does a 38 hit you?
Yes.
Does a 27 hit you?
Yes.
All right, you get hit twice.
Oh, boy.
The first hit does 22 points of physical damage and 7 points of negative energy.
Okay.
The second attack does 17 points of physical damage and 7 points of negative energy.
Oh, well, that hurt a lot.
Jeez. Yeah, this thing hurts a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, so it is still your turn, so that you just moved and that's it?
I had to drink the potion.
Drink the potion.
Yep. Rangvald, you're up.
All right, here we go. Sacred Word. I'm going to do a little Bane Ooze on this fella. Do a power attack.
Do it.
And hit it twice. 24?
A 24 misses. Wait, oh. Yeah, misses.
Meh. Well, this second one isn't going to hit. Maybe I won't power attack. All right, that's less.
Next round is Biddle.
Biddle should have gotten up there last time, but forgot. So she is going to heal Orn. Orn, you heal, just you, for 20, 30, 37 points.
Pretty good.
And you have fast healing 3 for 4 rounds. And then Biddle is going to provoke an attack of opportunity, moving up next to this thing.
All right, it'll accept your offering of flesh. Does a 35 hit you?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Oh, I rolled really... Oh, I'm rolling really low. You take 17 points of physical damage and 3 points of negative energy damage. And you...
17, and it's a miss.
Okay.
Aha! All right, cool. And those are my 2 actions.
The extra negative energy still goes through, but you don't get life leeched.
Okay.
It's not considered like a thing that triggers on a hit.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
It's considered part of the damage.
Oh, I gotcha. That makes sense. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Next up is Renori. However, yeah. Unlike Orin, you are not life leeched, which is really good for you.
All right. Biddle, you hear Renori whimper as you leave her behind.
No, stay back there. Stay back there. It's fine.
Orin, you're up.
Hold on. Hey.
Oh, I thought you were just crying this turn.
I didn't say that. That's okay. A free action.
Crying's always a free action.
I guess you could cry 25 words as a free action.
So I move up over here, and I don't know if this is going to help at all, but this is a mind-affecting hex.
It is unaffected.
Okay, I tried it.
Orin, you're up. You feel the mud that's coating your body from this thing's attack sap the life out of you. You take 3 points of damage.
Okay, but then I heal 3 points of damage.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All right.
Oh, you have fast healing. Yeah. So fast healing would trigger first, and it just automatically removes the life leech. My bad.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, nice. Mm.
Vanessa accidentally completely nullified its ability.
Ha-ha.
So what you can do, Orin?
I'm going to power attack Smash Smash.
Okay.
Rolling to confirm the critical hit on the nat 20.
Deciduous.
Oh, darn it. I thought the bones meant I could hurt it.
Nope.
Oh, that was a nat 20, so I'm going to roll a second hit. And that is a 35.
That also hits.
The first one is 5, 10, plus 33 damage.
It's not a very happy creature right now.
Okay.
However, it doesn't seem like all of that went through.
Mm-hmm. 31 damage.
All right. Again, all of that didn't seem like it went through, but most of it did. It's its turn. It's going to attempt to cast a spell defensively. I succeed because I rolled a 19 on the die plus all of its bonuses. It reaches out and it touches Orm.
Hey, bad touch is bad.
Bodyguard, succeed.
I would.
I'm sorry?
I'm trying to think if you can bodyguard this.
It's an attack roll.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's a touch attack, right?
No, it just says range touch. It's not a touch attack.
Yeah, range is you said touch. You make a touch attack.
All right, let's roll the attack roll.
Also, if it's range, then we all get
attack smash anyway.
Well, no, it's
you cast the spell defensively.
It's a melee attack.
The range is touch, or the range has a range of touch.
Those are very. This is why the language needs to be cleared up a little bit.
Oh right.
If only there was another edition.
Does a
never happen.
Does a 27 touch you, Param?
Do I get any bear bonus?
Plus five.
Plus one?
Plus five.
Oh, plus five. My touch AC is... Nah, yeah, that will totally still touch me.
Then I guess Biddle's taking it as an immediate action.
Okay.
The way Biddle do.
Biddle, give me a will save.
No, I don't want to make that one. I want to make a different one. Is it poison, fear, or disease?
Nope.
All right, well, we're looking at a 17.
17 is going to fail.
Cool.
Wow. You take 120 points of damage.
Oh.
All right. So I have... is this harm?
Uh-huh.
Cool. So I have one hit point left, and I am unconscious. No, Biddle's doing what she's supposed to do. It turns out.
Oh, gosh. Oh, gosh. I says, aha, I wanted you, but I'll settle for the bear. Next round is Rangvald's turn.
All right. Oh, boy. Well, you're not actually unconscious.
I am, because I have 4 points of burn.
Oh, the burn. Oh, I forgot about the burn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Terrific. Do you want me to heal you? Do you need a healing?
It would take a
while. Okay. Okay. Well, then I'll just smack it a couple times with the holy book, putting a little bane ooze on this. That is a 27. No, sorry, 31 because of flanking.
That hits, yeah. You can't flank a ooze, but this 27 still hits.
Oh, okay, fair enough. And then a 22 is probably not going to hit.
22 won't hit.
Okay, here's the damage. There's 4 points of bludgeoning damage and then 7 points of bane damage.
That damage does not seem to go through.
Yeah. I have built a terribly useless character, apparently.
You just need more damage.
I can't hit with my power attack.
Next round goes to Biddle.
Biddle's unconscious.
Next round goes to Vernori.
I've already used my healing hex on Biddle, so I just kind of...
Didn't you eat the cookie between now and then? It counts as if a day had passed.
Biddle has.
No, I did not eat the cookie. Oh,
gotcha.
I ate my cookie before that fight.
Yeah.
So Renori just drops to her knees and shakes Biddle. Try to wake Biddle up.
Orin, you're up.
Orin is going to 5 foot step a little bit away from the creature. Not away, just around the creature. And then is going to power attack smash.
Go for it.
Okay. 25.
That is a miss. Are you remembering all your morale and bonuses and stuff?
I'm not remembering plus two, so 27?
That hits.
Whew. Okay. 31 damage?
Oh, that is a lot of damage. It doesn't look very happy. It's still alive, but it's also really hard to judge how much an ooze is hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's its turn.
Oh, I got another smash.
Oh, then smash it again, please, by all means. You guys need all the smashes you can get.
This is a 29.
29 hits?
36 damage.
Ow. Yeah, it looks like it pops a bit and a bunch of its innards start leaking out. As it pours out, you can see the bones of what looked like a couple gnomes that kind of ooze out of it.
Oh, no.
Aww.
Ringvald, you're up.
No, I thought it goes before me.
Oh, it does go before you. It's going to try to beat up the bear and not Biddle. 21.
That will hit. No, that will miss.
All right, the other one is a natural 20.
That will totally possibly crit
but
me.
But it's only a 21 to confirm.
Okay, so that is not a confirm.
All right, you can't be life leeched as long as you have Biddle's thing up, because that happens first, so you're good from that. However, you do take 7 plus 2, 9 You take 19 points of physical damage and 11 points of negative energy damage. It is now Rangvald's turn.
All right, I'll try a power attack. Add that good old Bane damage. Oh, I keep forgetting to add two for that. Anyway.
So don't you have a thing where you can try to identify creatures untrained because you're an Inquisitor? With like
the touch attack that I did at the beginning and missed.
But no, you have Monster Lore too, right?
No, not as a living grimoire.
Oh, that stinks.
I have replaced everything as Inquisitor, basically, and put in War Priest.
Gotcha.
It's a class, yeah, it's what I do. It's I take archetypes that remove all class features from the regular class and add a different class.
That's okay.
There we go. That is a 28, 30 total.
That hits.
30 total. And then the second one is letter, 19. Probably not going to hit.
19 won't hit. Come on, roll high, Jason.
11 points of regular bludgeoning damage and then 7 points of Bane damage.
Some of that goes through. It doesn't look happy to be Baned. All right, next round, Biddle's unconscious, so it's Renori's turn.
I don't really do anything, so that's it for me.
Orin, your turn.
Okay, I'm going to continue to shuffle around the horrific ooze monster until I'm flanking.
It's an ooze, it's immune to flanking.
Oh.
It's okay.
And then I'm going to power attack Smash Mash. That's going to miss. That's a 22.
That misses.
Yeah. Oh, and this one will probably hit. It is a 28.
28 hits.
31 points of damage.
It explodes into a puddle of goop and is destroyed.
Whew. Hooray.
You guys did it.
Quick, someone
snore.
Somebody, Biddle's super hurt. Fix it.
I'm going to start using up some of those wands. There we got.
Yeah, let's just drain right through those suckers.
Yeah.
If you want, good. You guys can just take average for 5 per casting if you'd rather not roll to speed it up.
Okay.
Yeah, we could speed it up.
Sure.
So how many castings would I need to...
At that point, hit point, I have 38, so even if I get 35 back, so that's 27.
27 castings?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Oh, that's half a wand.
Well, while he's doing that, I'm just on the ground just like trying to shove all the stuffing back in.
All right, so if that's 27 castings, that would be about 3 minutes against your potion. Is that was a first level one, so it's done, right, Perrin?
Yeah,
I'm going to shrink back down.
Yeah.
And hey, that 3 minutes also gives her 9 points of Force Ward back, so that's not bad.
Right. Hey.
You guys did it. All right.
That's the thing.
So, here you can see there's a door to the south, and there is a door to the east. And then there are double doors up ahead, which Rangvald believes lead to the chapel.
Can I get hit with that wand about 8 times?
Sure can.
Thank you.
You all sound like you're pretty beat up.
Significantly hurt and beat up. Yes.
Well, I actually managed not to take any damage that fight, luckily, after that thing, the weird time warp that happened.
Yeah. Well, I'm quite good now that I've done that. Okay. Is Biddle okay?
Yeah, after 3 minutes of wand work, she's back to full. Or nearly.
And is Renori okay?
She seems okay. Biddle just sort of holds her hand.
She's like, ah.
Yeah. All right, so let's look around the area. Hoping to find some...
Continue. I'm just gonna cast a quick communal protection from chaos, just in case.
Good call.
Because I got two of them.
That saved you in the one fight.
It did. It would have helped earlier. I'm gonna march up to this door and respectfully open the chapel.
As you open it, oh, I'm sorry. Okay. As you open it, you can see the basics of a. What looks like a whole bunch of workbenches, and looking over it, you can see why Biddle might have mistakenly thought it was a chapel, because the way that these desks are arranged, it kind of looks like pews. But looking over, it's very clear this is not a chapel. This is a work. Oh. This is a workroom. It turns out that Biddle's knowledge is not always perfect. Sorry, Biddle.
Oh, it's okay.
So it looks like this is the workshop. There are dozens of rows of workbenches filling this large chamber, whose roof is considerably higher than those found in the main compound. The lights in the chamber are off, and the smell of rotting meat and decaying flesh fills the chamber. Above a hardwood floor rests an inch of fine topsoil that has been sowed with severed digits and other bits of dismembered body parts.
Terrible.
Yeah. It's definitely not a chapel. It's definitely not a nice place.
Biddle, is there, in fact, any chapel here in this in the Kindle works.
14 lore.
You know that this room over to the side is the planning center, and that to the south there's a nice sitting room and then a study over that's connected to it.
I don't know, maybe upstairs, but I've never been up there.
That's true. Should we... I feel like we would need to get Renori back to full strength before we go upstairs, but we could go.
And over by here to the south, I should have mentioned it, but you were kind of busy looking around and, you know, putting your body parts back together and trying to fill your bodies with blood. Down to the south, there is a mural in front of what Biddle is pretty sure is supposed to be a stairwell. And the mural seems to depict the witches that you saw earlier.
Does that mean they're upstairs? Just upstairs?
Possibly.
A sign that says, hey, we live up here. Any thoughts, everybody? You want to just clear out the first floor?
Yeah, make sure that nothing sneaks up on us if we go upstairs.
Yeah. Well, let's then... Something's going to be in this workshop. It's fingers. Possibly. What? Finger garden. Let's take a step inside. I'm gonna take a step inside, Alex.
Sure, move yourself in.
Oh, there's nothing there. It's just darkness.
Oh, I mean that's accurate. It's very dark in here.
Sure. Can I tell if this is some kind of maybe roll a knowledge religion check to see if this is of any significance? This finger garden.
Sure.
Or is it just some kind of gross? 34. I'm good at knowledge.
Well, the first thing you notice is that if there is no light source in this room, so. Going out beyond, I'm going to draw you lines. Going out beyond, like, here is darkness. And your religious lore informs you that there's some sort of effect going on here that makes magical illumination not work. So it's kind of like deeper darkness, but not as good. Because it's not actually, like, forcing it to be dark because it doesn't seem to work on natural light.
Okay. Okay. Well, then... if magical darkness doesn't pierce it, do I think like a torch would?
You think that the lighting in the light in here is dimmer? It's probably only going to give you about a 5-foot radius of light, but magical light will not work at all.
Oh wow. Okay. Oh, that being said, I don't necessarily have all my torches because of not having my stuff. Luis, did you have any like basic gear in your bag?
What kind of basic gear? Like
torches or a lantern?
Yeah, absolutely. I have several, and flint and steel.
Good. I'll rummage through Renori's bag and pull out a torch and light it.
Biddle can hold it.
Cool. Okay, I'll hand it over to Biddle.
Keep your hands free.
I really only need the one hand with the book, but in case anyone casts a spell.
There's an ever-burning torch, so you can save the trouble of lighting one.
Oh, great! It's already on fire, and it's not magic for some reason.
Burning torch. Oh. Continual flame isn't magic?
Oh, yeah, you're right. Okay, regular torch as it is.
Hey. It's weird, because every burning torch is never italicized.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, it's one of those things. It just has a spell cast on it. Yeah, it's one of those dumb things. Never mind. I think that's something we're definitely essentially correcting. Let's light a regular torch and curse the darkness.
Yeah, sure. Where are you guys going to go?
Let's see. My religion check. Did that have anything to do with what this weird bunch of dirt and darkness? Is it because there's a desecrate here? I mean, do I know?
You think that this place might have been desecrated somehow, but not like the full desecration spell. Because if it was full desecration, this would be deeper darkness.
Fair enough. Not that I can necessarily do anything about that. I'll take a step over here.
There's a door over here and a door over here.
I'll go over there and open that door.
So there's a door to the east and the west. All right.
To the west.
So
you open head up to the west and open that door.
What are you doing, Orin and Minori?
Well, following closely behind.
Are you staying outside, Renori, or are you going in? Okay.
I'm holding Biddle's hand the whole time.
That door seems to be filled with storage. There are supplies and all sorts of other useful things. But all of you need to give me a will save.
Okay.
Is it against feet?
It is.
Hooray.
25 then.
It's against emotion, not feet.
Oh.
19.
So only 20.
Okay.
22.
It's also 22.
22. So you got a 19, Renori?
Yep.
Everyone else got a 21 or higher?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Renori, you are affected by crushing despair.
Now,
And in the very corner of the dim light that's fading in through the room, you can see what looks like a humanoid figure that's glistening and covered in what you're not even sure what it is from over there, because your light source is Rangveld all the way over there, which is like about 20 feet away from the actual entity. But it appears to have its hand raised as if it just inspired this horrible emotion. And now I'm going to need some initiatives.
All right.
Good gracious, I have visitors, you hear echoing from that general area. Oh no, it's definitely not a 1019 as a result. All right, are you guys all good to go?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get these things in descending order. And it looks like it's going first. I'm going to move it so that you can see it now, because it's great.
What does it look like?
It looks quite terrifying, if I do say so myself. Oh no, that's not the right... There we go. So it looks a little something like this. Ooh, that's not the right button. There we go.
And for our audio listeners?
It looks like a humanoid figure that is built completely out of writhing worms.
Oh, no.
Oh, good lord.
Yeah. Good gracious, my guest. I can't believe you've found yourself in this delightful little abode of mine. It is going to cast a spell targeting Orin. Give me a will save.
Okay. That is 24.
All right, you feel like your body starts tensing up and you're able to push your way through it. Oh, this is gonna be fun after all now, isn't it? Next turn is Biddle.
Oh, fun. What a jerk.
If you want to know more about this delightfully terrifying creature, it is nature or dungeoneering.
A bear, very little brain. She is not going to know anything about it. But she's going to grab one of these, what are they, stools all over the place?
Yeah.
And toss it at this thing. 18 to hit.
That is going to miss. Now, that's no way to treat your host. Like, you make contact, but its body being made of worms just seems to contort around it. Mm. And, like, it's sort of, like, slowly, the stool slowly oozes its way through the creature.
Oh, gross.
Well, then she's going to go ahead and move up next to it. I rolled acrobatics, but it is not going to be high enough to avoid any sort of attack of opportunity. And Biddle will move up next to it and shake her little fist. She'll let go of Renori's hand and sort of just pat it as she leaves.
It is going to try to take advantage of your lapse in judgment. It is going to probably miss you, though, because it only rolls a... Oh, does it have that feat? No, it does. Oh, it does have that feat. Oh, never mind. That's way better. 19 to hit you.
No, miss.
All right. So it misses you bad. Orin, you're up.
Orin's going to step on up, and I'm glad I don't even need to ask if you're a friend.
Oh, I can be your friend, boy.
Just double smash, smash. Because smash is the best option.
Smash it up.
It was an edge. Okay. I don't suppose this thing can be crit?
No.
Okay. 37 to hit?
Hit.
Okay. Boy, where is it going? So 28 damage?
Most of that doesn't seem to go through.
Most of that doesn't go through.
Uh-huh. Renori, your turn.
I ain't got another smash.
Oh, then smash. Smash away. By all means, please.
24 to hit?
A 24 will not hit this.
Mm.
Do you have another smash?
No, a mouse smash.
All right, Renori, you're up.
All right, Renori steps back and starts cowering in the corner, but not before she tries to cast some misfortune upon this thing. With a DC 9, we'll see.
Passes. Next round goes to Rangveld.
Okay. I don't know.
Nature or dungeoneering? Do you know
I'm going to start with that nature check.
Sure.
Pretty dang good. 33.
Wow, a 33 is very good. That is going to give you a total of 3 questions about this.
All right.
This is a creature that is essentially a boogeyman fae with the worm that walks template called an oogie boogeyman.
Oogie boogeyman. What's its alignment?
It is as evil comes.
Is it chaotic by any chance?
No.
Okay, so our protection from chaos is not going to help us, but evil is good. Does it have any... what's all that ability to reduce damage?
It seems to have very high damage reduction that's untyped.
Uh-huh. Does it have any weaknesses?
Does it have any weaknesses? No, but you do know that it has plenty of immunities and resistances. It is immune to disease, paralysis, poison, sleep, and it has decently good spell resistance.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's something that I need to know. I'm going to try something anyway.
One more question.
Is it going to attack us or cast spells on us, I guess?
It can switch between the two pretty easily. It has a very wide array of fear-based spells. If creatures are suffering from fear effects around it, it heals faster than it normally would. And it already heals naturally very quickly.
Okay.
Yeah, you're going to need to hit with your hardest attacks in order to hurt this thing.
But you're not very good.
It can also discorporate itself into a swarm.
Hooray. I will then move up to it and hit it. No. From where I'm standing, I'm going to try a... No, I don't know. I'll step up to it. I will strike it with a holy book. I'll spend a sacred word on that to make this full-on holy.
Sounds good.
So it's good against evil. Boy, oh boy. Power attack, that's 20, 26, but can it be flanked?
Yes, it can be flanked in this form.
So that is 32 to hit.
That hits.
All right. 12, and then another 12 points of holy damage.
Oh, right. It looks like most of that didn't go through.
Yeah. I do need to stand up for a minute, but I'll be right back.
Okay. It's turn. Let's see. You all have hurt it, but it really wasn't that much. It's going to go after Biddle, because you're just kind of standing there. It's like, I'm not going to wait and see what you do.
Okay.
I threw
a stool at
you. You did. It just didn't do anything. Let me show you to your quarters. The first thing that happens is that all y'all need to give me a... actually, let me see. 5, 10, 15. Yeah, including Renori. All y'all need to give me a will save.
Is it fear, babe?
It is fear.
19?
26.
Okay. How'd you do, Louise?
24.
Okay. And we'll get Keely to roll as soon as he comes back. So the 19 and the 24 fail, but the 26 passes. With that, a shifting aura of mist and images reflecting your deepest fears manifests around the creature. Both of you that failed are shaken as long as you're within the aura. Param, you are immune to the aura for 24 hours because you passed. Delightful.
I hope that's a tagline that doesn't need to be enforced.
Which one?
24 hours from now, still caring about this critter?
I hope so, too. It's going to go, and it is going to try and... let me think. So, but you two failed, and as a result, it's totally just going to beat you guys up. It's going to try to attack Biddle, because it knows Biddle is afraid of it. Mm. Sorry, Biddle. It knows. Does a... 26 hit you.
Sure
did. Oof. So using its fear, like it strikes you, and you saw from the first round of attacks that it's not a particularly powerful creature, right? Mm-hmm. But so you take 4 points of damage, but then as it hits you, those simulacrums of your fear also attack you.
Does this only happen on a hit?
No.
Okay.
It happens because you're shaken.
Okay.
6, 18, 23 points of damage.
23?
Yep. If you have fortification, you can roll it.
Oh, yeah, I sure do. It's only 20% at the moment, but I'll walk a shot. Nope.
Fortification isn't saving me. You said 23 points.
Yep. It appears that it can sneak attack creatures that are suffering from fear effects.
Oh, that's horrible. Okay.
Speaking of things that are horrible, its turn is over, but there's always next round. Your turn, Biddle. Hold on. I forgot it, and I rolled a 3, so that's fine. Keep going.
Okay. Biddle doesn't like this thing one bit. She's going to defensively use Kinetic Blast.
It seems like a whole bunch of worms from inside the worm garden have recorpulated into the creature, dramatically healing it.
I'm just going to do a good old physical blast this time. Another one of these nearby stools. That is... over 30 to hit, even with the
fish. Are you going to stay there so I can punch you when you do it?
Yeah, sure, because I want to be near companions.
Okay. It go and punch you. Might not hit, though. Only a 22.
Nope.
Nope, it doesn't hit, or
it
nope, that
hits.
It
does not hit.
Okay.
It is, but it can be the proud recipient of 38 points of,
let's call it bludgeoning damage.
It looks like you put all the damage that it had healed back on and then some.
Good.
By far, that was the most effective attack against it so far.
Aha! Go, Magic Bear.
Next round goes to Ornn.
Hmm. Well, Ornn is going to 5-foot step to flank it.
Okay.
I'm waiting for whatever horrible thing happens when I take actions.
Oh, you have to give me a Wilson. No, you already passed. You're good.
Okay, good, good. In that case, then I'm going to power attack Vital Strike it.
Jason, now that you're back, I need a will save. Go ahead.
41?
A 41 will hit.
Okay. 42 damage.
That seemed like it was very, very effective. That blasted a big chunk of worms out of its body. Renori, you're crushing despair in the corner. You're pretty sure you're all gonna die.
Yeah, I start crying.
Vangvald, you're up. I need that saving throw against fear from last round.
25. Is it 25?
Yeah. Oh, you're good. You okay. Are immune to Hooray. Its horribleness.
Now, is there anything I could do to help other people's damage? Because my damage isn't going to really...
I don't know. That's your power.
This.
Do you have another one of those holy javelins or something?
A holy javelin doesn't really do a whole lot of damage, though.
That's true.
It just does 1d6 per round. And I do have one, but I do have one on my chest. I do have my holy javelin tattoo. Can't be critical'd.
Oh, in this form, your tattoos are definitely like the washable on tattoos?
Oh, sure. 100%. 100%. I'll go ahead and hold on. Hell, you know what? I'll do it. I got all this. I got a cookie. I can get my secret word back later. I think this is my 7th round of that. Here we go. Holy damage. Pretty good. 32.
A 32 to hit will hit.
Yeah, 32 to hit. And terrible damage, of course. 8 and then 4 holy, so nothing.
Yep, doesn't seem like it did anything that round. It's its turn. Wow, it's pretty convinced that attacking Biddle is the right call. Like, oh man, that really hurt. Oh, right. Biddle, my good friend, does a 30 hit you?
Yeah, should have.
Oh, right, my good friend Biddle. Give me your fortification roll.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, need that. Nope, 40. Didn't roll low enough.
Oh, right. You take 2 points, or 4 points of damage from the regular attack, and then from the sneak attack, you are going to take an additional 26 points of damage for a total of 30.
Yikes, that's quite a hit.
Yeah, he rolled really well. I got mostly fives and sixes that
Damn
time.
It. Okay, next turn. What happened? I just remembered that I could do something, so next turn.
Biddle, you're up.
All right, well, I didn't like that one bit. Biddle's going to 5-foot step over here, make sure she can cover all her ally.
It healed a significant chunk of hit points.
Yeah, I can either continue attacking it so I can't heal, or I can save myself. I'm gonna just attack it. I'm just gonna see it. So, defensive to make sure I can do it without interrupting my ability. I can. It's a ranged attack, so even though I'm grabbing a stool from behind it somewhere, the attack should hit. It's about as high as it was last time.
Mm-hmm.
And another 29, 25 to hit. Is 25 high enough?
A 25 is... not high enough.
Oh, well, then it's actually pointless for me to attack it, because that was one lower than last time.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So I don't do anything.
Next round is Ornn.
Power attack, battle strike? Well, first I'm going to flank it, then I'm going to power attack, battle strike.
It's a good call. Give Rangvald that awesome flanking bonus, too.
I mean, I get it normally, as long as anyone is there.
28?
28 hits.
Okay. 39 damage.
Oof, that's a lot. Did you have any other attacks, or is that it?
No, that was a battle strike.
Oof, rough. Next round goes to Renori.
Still crying. Still scared.
Rangvald, you're up.
Okay. I forgot that I have the remove fear spell, and everyone's a little scared. So I'm going to take a 5-foot step back here so I don't need to cast it defensively, and cast remove fear. Everybody, anyone who's shaken or what have you in fear effects, suppressed for the next 10 minutes.
Fantastic.
Nice. Oh, right. Congratulations. You just shut down about half of his self-healing. All right. Next round goes to it. It's very upset. It's like, wait a minute. Why can't I beat this bear up anymore? It rolls a 27 to hit Biddle.
Oh, which hits me.
And does 3 points of damage. Biddle, your turn.
That's better. Biddle's going to heal herself defensively, succeeds. Oof, this thing is nasty. 4 points of healing. Haha. And I get some of my force ward back because I am going to go ahead and just take a point of burn.
Mm-hmm.
And also increase my fortification. Bring it.
Okay.
I'm also kind of thing you went over there.
Don't have to keep following me, Biddle.
I'm trying to protect you. All right, I'll 5 foot step down here, I guess, and flank with you.
Orin, you're up.
I'm going to try to bull rush this thing off the ground.
Sure. Do you have improved bull rush, or is that provoking?
It's going to provoke.
All right. It's going to try to smack you. It rolls a 35.
Yeah, it'll smack me.
You take 4-5 points of damage. I'm so sad. I have all these D6s out, and now Jason has turned them all off.
Good job, Jason. Take them down.
So how was your check, Orin?
It is a 19 on the die, and my CMB is 15, so 34.
You can move it one square.
Excellent.
Are you moving it towards Rangvald, or are you going to move it towards the door?
I'm going to move it towards Rangvald.
Okay.
And then step in to, and, you know, take its spot.
As you stand there beneath your feet, you start to feel like movement, and like you kind of glance down and you realize the worms are pushing themselves out of the ground to reach him, and all of that motion under your feet is the feeling of worms desperately trying to move out of their dirt, digging up towards you all around you.
That sounds feels terrible.
It's terrible. Awful.
Okay,
Renora, you're up.
Not much I can do.
Rangvald, you're up.
Alrighty, I will do the two strikes. I'll do two books. I'll smash it with a book.
Okay.
I'm going to put on the holy damage again. Round 8. Okay. Oh no, bad roll. Not great. 18, 20 total. Not great. It's going to miss, most likely.
Yeah, this miss.
Probably going to miss this second one, too. I roll a nat 20. Oh no, maybe not. Because I'm getting 4 from flanking. I'm getting 2 from holy 11. 29. It's a 29 hit.
A 29 hits him.
All right. Phew. I'm on high damage. Not bad. 11 plus 9 holy. So 20.
11 plus 9 holy.
Yeah. Ooh.
That mostly goes through. It looks like it's not doing too great. Except it kind of also is in its own weird wormy way.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of its weird wormy way, those worms that were wiggling by Orm's feet come up and join to it, but it heals significantly less because there are no fear effects near it. So it's now going to try to punch Orn for moving it. It's not happy. It misses Orn. Biddle, you're up.
Well, now that I'm not shaken, maybe I have a chance of hitting it. So she is going to defensively call another stool from the other side of the room. She mm-hmm. succeeds. Pretty good attack roll. Please hold for math. 28, including the minus 4 for being in combat. And it can make an AOL against me if it has one.
It does. It misses you.
Cool.
What did you roll to hit it?
28.
That'll hit.
Fantastic. Woo-hoo. It can suffer 33 points of bludgeoning damage.
All right. It looks like that definitely went through and hurt it. Orim, you're up.
Okay, well, then, if I'm up, I am going to try to do a Power Attack Battle Strike Smash.
Yeah.
Ooh, probably not going to hit that time. 23?
A 23 will...
Oh, 25 with flanking.
Miss.
Mm. Oh.
All right. That's all I got.
Gotcha. All right, Renori is still scared. Rangvald, you're up.
All right. I think maybe I need to aid some people's attacks on this one. Yeah, I'm going to aid Orn his next attack. So basically, I'm going to do a flank, you know, the lat. So I just have to beat a 15, right?
A 10.
A 10. Fair enough. I do it.
All right.
Easy peasy.
Orn gets plus 2. It's its turn. It heals a bunch. It is going to, as a free action, collapse and say, "Enough!" And it transforms into a swarm of worms.
Ew.
Oh, no.
And it is going to swarm attack Biddle and Orn. Both of you take... Oh, that's 12 points of damage.
12?
Yes. You both get to make a fortitude save as well.
22.
You pass.
Cool.
How about Orin?
26.
You also pass. You, neither of you are distracted. Biddle, your
turn.
Seen
it. We've seen this before.
Oh, boy. This thing is making me mad. Well, I don't think swarms can be in melee, so that actually helps me. I continue to roll like gangbusters, so that is over a 30 to hit it. And I just take the same small stool, smashing worms on the ground until the stool is kindling. For 37 points of bludgeoning damage, smashing as many worms as I can. It's so gross. It's so gross.
So gross.
Okay, now it is Orin's turn.
Mm-hmm. Orin is going to get out of the wormy stuff.
Okay.
All right, I'm just going to step further back in the room, away from the worm. And then I'm going to ready an action to, if it forms up, I'm going to throw a stool at it.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Hmm, interesting. I'm going to go ahead and say that you're going to throw a stool at it, you said?
If it forms back into a person.
Okay, gotcha. Brenori is still feared. Rangvald, you're up.
Boy, oh boy. I don't really have any... I don't know who has Renori's bag.
It was given to Biddle.
Oh.
Or no, it was given to him. Yeah, you took the torches out of it.
I took the torches out, so I have it now.
Yeah.
Which means I can reach in and grab that alchemist fire.
Yeah.
And chuck it at this swarm.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I accept this course of action.
Yes. I just sort of splash it in such a way that I don't... Biddle might get splashed. I forget how alchemist fire works.
Yeah, it's fine.
You could aim that square in the corner and she'd probably be okay.
Well, I want to hit it directly.
Yeah, hit it directly. Okay. I'll take 1 point. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, it's not that much. Oh no. That's not a good roll. I have a high dex, though. Mm-hmm. Hold on. It's 9. Does 15 hit its touch?
Nope. Attack?
Then I have missed with this very important alchemist fire.
Yes.
I don't know where it goes.
I'll roll a d8 for you. So it would have started in this square adjacent to you. And I'm going to roll the d8. I got a 1, so it lands in this square, splashing you in the swarm.
Okay, take that.
So you both take, 1 point of damage?
Sure.
All right, we'll go with it. Swarms go. It starts to better itself. And it is going to 5 foot over and get Rangvald and Biddle this time. I rolled almost max damage. 17 damage. Yeah, the worms come up and they just start, like, gnawing into you. It's horrible. Horrible. Biddle, you're up.
All right, made my fortitude save with a nat 20.
Mm-hmm.
Would have been great. I guess it's a... let's continue grabbing another stool and smashy. I rolled way worse, so hopefully a 14 plus 9 is a 23 will be enough in its swarmy form. 23 to hit?
Yeah, no, 23 will miss.
It'll miss? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, in that case, I just smash a stool on the ground, ineffectively. But I don't necessarily want to stand in this swarm anymore, so I'm going to move over here.
I don't blame you. Get out of that swarm. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at the worm that walks rules, and it doesn't actually say that its size changes when it turns into a swarm. So I don't think it's immune to weapon damage, like a normal swarm made of fine creatures would be. And I feel like because it has a hive mind, it's still like... You know, it's kind of still more corpulated than a normal swarm would be. So if you want to smack it with your weapon, Orm and Rangvald, I'm down with that. Because the stat block isn't very clear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, right. So that's Biddle's turn. Orin, you're up. You realize that these worms kind of still are grouping together somewhat. Because they're a swarm and not like independent minds. It's under a hive mind. Go ahead, Orin.
Okay. Well, then I will move up again and Vital Strike Power Attack. That one.
Oh no!
Vernori, you're up.
So sad. How much? Oh, it's 1 minute per level for crushing spear. Well, how hurt does this creature look?
It's hard to tell now that it's a swarm, but there isn't as many worms that comprise it as there were before. You think that if you guys could get one good push, you could probably kill it.
Okay. I steal myself and give it an evil eye against AC.
All right.
It's a DC 9.
I rolled a natural 1.
I mean, it wouldn't be affected either way, but there you go. How'd it help?
Yay!
Yay! Woo-hoo. Rangvald, you're up.
Yeah, okay. Minus 4 AC. Take it down.
So you guys really need that 20% hit chance, let me tell you.
Luis, how many of these alchemist flasks did you have in there?
Let me double check. I have Alchemist Fire. I have four total, so you've used one.
All right, I've used one. I'm going to take a step back, a couple steps back.
I also have four Flasks of Acid. Get those out.
Terrific. I'll draw another Flask of Alchemist Fire and toss it, like, in the corner here so the splash doesn't get anybody, any of my compatriots, just in case.
Go for it. Roll your attack roll.
Oh my god, I rolled terrible! Okay. 14.
Let's see, yeah, that would be... Great. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5... It splashes right here between it and Orm, so they both... Orm and it both take 1 point of damage. I think there's a is there a reflex save to reduce it? I don't remember.
No, because it's...
Yeah, but you can't reduce lower than 1.
Yeah. It's a bit of a 1, so you don't worry about it.
Gotcha. All right, so it looks like it starts to get even betterer, and gosh, it doesn't know what to go for anymore. It's pretty sure that Biddle hurt it a lot, so it's going to go for Biddle.
Oh, that's so mean.
You take 5 points of damage as I roll a 3 and 2 ones.
Okay, my fort save's a 21.
You are not distracted, awesome. Which is great because it's your turn.
Yay, Constitution Bay.
Yay.
She's going to move back over here and try to smash a stool again on him, this time with a 24 to hit.
A 24 will hit because of Evil Eye.
Hey!
Hooray.
Awesome. Good job, team. So that's 20, 30, 41 points of bludgeoning damage that affects swarms normally.
Yes.
Smash, smash, smash into kindling all of the stools.
A whole bunch of the worms lay dead and like it's quivering. You think one good orm strike could do it. And I keep looking it up, and it looks like it doesn't have the weapon damage immunity. So please, Orn, go for it.
Okay, well, I am going to... Let me see here. Just want to make sure that I smash optimally. All right, so I'm going to power attack, battle strike, smash, and hopefully roll above a 4.
Okay.
I succeeded in my goal. Exactly.
Oh, good.
So that is... It's a 24 to hit.
A 24 will meet because of Evil Eye.
Oh, yay!
Mm-hmm.
Lots of smash. 14, 15 plus 22 is 37 damage.
Well, that is enough to kill this swarm.
Oh, thank God.
And
I'm not going to quit smashing and stomping until every single worm I see is mushed.
All right. Well, looks like the other ones all die off.
Mushed. Not just mushed. Dead.
Yeah, mushed it up.
Gotcha.
This thing was very scary.
Uh-huh. It was very scary, yeah.
It's really gross.
Super gross. All right, so what are you guys going to do from here?
Take a minute to heal up. We got some damage.
Biddle
people.
Knows that the quote chapel unquote storeroom is over here.
Oh yeah, we had opened that door, but we didn't really, or we were about to open that door, and we never got around to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we better look around in there then.
Let's look around.
Yeah.
That room appears to be a storeroom. This cramped storage room is stacked high with organized boxes of raw materials suitable for crafting childish playthings, from glass eyes for dolls to slabs of wood for carving any one of hundreds of childhood delights. Compared to the rest of the Crindle Works, this chamber seems relatively untouched. Give me a perception check.
Yeah.
Well, you guys are
time
looking
for another
around.
Comically low perception roll.
Biddle's going to go ahead and brighten up the room a bit, channeling the power of Yule to heal everyone for 31 points, plus another 12 fast healing over the next several rounds.
Yeah.
Very sweet.
I'm all good. Thank you.
All right. So what was your perception?
I got pretty good. 17 plus 16. 15.
You find what appears to be a mosaic tile that you think might match the mosaic from the terrace room. It depicts a trio of witches that match it, the three witches you've fought so far, the hag and the two witches.
Yeah.
And they appear to be lighting several dozen gnomes ablaze as they are wrecked with pain. It is not a very pretty one, but you also find that in this storeroom there are... There are tons of raw materials for the fabricate spell, 4,500 gold if you have that spell, or you could just take it for treasure. You also find a wand of cure moderate wounds with 12 charges.
Oh, boy.
A wand of lesser restoration with 12 charges. They are in a mahogany case worth 250 gold. And there is also a scroll of psychic surgery.
Psychic surgery?
Psychic surgery.
That can heal feeble mind.
It can.
I know that.
Oh, awesome.
It's not in the original feeble mind because the spell didn't exist.
Yep, but that spell, but psychic surgery specifically will cure any mind-affecting condition, even instantaneous ones, of 6th level or lower. The trick is going to be figuring out who has a UMD high enough to use it.
Is that a lesser restoration wand, Alex, or regular?
Lesser.
Okay. And how many charges?
12.
Psychic surgery, you say, huh?
Yeah.
My UMD's pretty good.
Give it a shot. I believe in you.
Let's see. I'm trying to figure out if I have to emulate, what's it called? I have to emulate an ability score, though, because it's such a high-level spell.
It would be intelligence, probably.
Alex, can we see the room on the map?
Oh, yeah, sure. My apologies. It's this cute little room stocked with boxes.
Great.
All right. I'm looking up ability score again because I don't remember that one. You said it's a scroll, right?
Yeah, what you do is you roll the check and then you subtract, I think it's 15 from it, and whatever's left is the score you have. So usually to emulate a spell of that high, you would need to roll a 31 on your check.
I mean, it's possible.
Is there any way we can aid this?
UMD is usually not an aid another thing unless you have any spells that give a bonus on skill checks.
If you heroism her, it would give her a bonus.
It would.
That's true.
I have another heroism.
Yeah, that'd give me a 10% better chance of doing this.
I'm gonna cast that on you.
Alright, let me throw that on there.
Biddle, you can do this.
I can do it. Ooh, and I succeed. So, well, at least at the first part. So 16 plus 17 is going to be a 33.
Mm-hmm, that's plenty.
So that's plenty. And then the second part is to use the scroll.
Which is much easier.
All right. So scroll is 20 plus caster level, which is going to be... What's caster level of this thing? 6 level spell, 12,
so,
11.
Yep.
So 31 again, actually, is what I'm looking for.
What was that?
DC of the spell should be 20 plus caster level.
Yeah, yeah, but the caster level should be an 11, I think, for a 6 level spell.
Yeah, yeah.
So my DC overall is 31, and I got 31 on the nose with heroism.
Renori, you're back. You're no longer feeble-minded.
Her eyes grow wide, and she just says, Biddle! And squats down to give her a big, big hug.
Aww.
Renori, I'm so glad you're back.
So where do you guys go from here?
I hand over Renori's bag.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
We found the rest of your stuff, if you remember.
Oh my gosh, thank you.
I used up two of your alchemist fires. Oh, sorry.
And the torch.
Do you remember anything that happened before you got fixed?
Yeah, she remembers it.
Okay.
She just does. She remembers it like almost like watching a Blair Witch movie. Like her actions don't really make sense, but because she did what she could under her previous like acumen. You know, does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. So where do you guys want to go from here?
Do we want to poke our heads in another door or go back to this mural since we found a weird part of it?
I think we does it look like we would need more of that mural?
Yeah, that piece isn't big enough to cover all of it.
Okay.
Let's keep collecting.
Let's keep looking. Yep. All right.
And hope that this is another small, not dangerous room full of goodies.
Sure. Open it up.
All right.
This room is a stairwell. It doesn't look desecrated. There is a door over to the east that looks like it continues on. Biddle says, that's where St. Nick keeps his sleigh. And then there are stairs that go down into the basement.
So I look really embarrassed as I roar and charge through this door with my sword out. And very quietly put the sword down and suggest we try this again with the next room.
Yeah.
Yes, it's funny how that works, isn't it? This large empty chamber houses 9 stables, stalls suitable for horse-like animals, as well as one extraordinarily well-crafted sled of incredible size and girth. Chains of heckish green fire bolt the sled to the ground, and yet, despite the flames, the room feels supernaturally cold. It looks like this.
Oh,
well, that's not great.
Did you say heckish?
I did.
So it looks like a big 25 by 25 room with some little stalls, probably for reindeer. And it looks like Santa's sleigh is chained up in the middle with like some weird light around it.
Yeah.
Phantom chains.
We can't do anything about this, I don't think. And at least there's nothing in the room trying to actively kill us.
I will detect magic upon it and see what's up.
It seems to be just some sort of really powerful chains made out of force energy to make sure that nobody escapes.
Mm-hmm. Let's still search the room. I'm going to do that. Go in. I'm going to step in.
Give me a perception check.
Start a perceiving. 21.
So there's nothing in this room except for the sleigh. You can give me a knowledge arcana check to understand the sleigh.
Sure. 17.
So it appears that it is a magic sleigh that with a carrying capacity of 800 pounds.
I'm just fascinated by it. Ooh.
Yeah. It's completely ornamented in Yuletide and Odin paraphernalia. It is a tricked out ride.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the plan? Are you going down or are you going to one of the other rooms that you skipped?
I don't know. Check the basement real quick or head over to the foyer?
Does Biddle remember anything about the basement? Is it just one room or is it a whole series of rooms?
She remembers it just being one room.
We should probably just check out the basement while we're here. Make sure there's nothing icky lurking down there that'll hurt us.
I bet there definitely is.
All right. Are you guys ready?
Sure.
Yes.
Am I missing? There we go. There are your tokens. Mm-hmm. All right. Give me a second. I'm going to do the thing where I make you go to the place like that, right? Yeah. Look at me. I can be taught, Louise.
You did it.
All right. So, let's see. This dark and dreary cellar, which appears to have once housed perishable goods for the entirety of the Crindle Works, has been converted into a makeshift dungeon that reeks of blood and death. Chains of black metal anchor dozens of manacles to the walls, and several racks of primitive torture implements lay on a small table into the corner of the room. The cellar's walls are chilly and slick with ice. There are some familiar faces in this room and some not familiar faces in this room. First off, it turns out, hey, this is where the kids got thrown.
Oh, right, the kids.
This is also where Budson ended up.
Oh, good. And
there is another boy over in the corner wearing kind of like red kind of really tattered looking clothes. He appears to be in a stock where the other ones are simply chained in place.
I have a sneaking suspicion. Children, you're alive. Good, good. Mm-hmm. Who is your new friend? I'm going to walk over there and start and do my best to get him out of this.
He looks like he is about the same age as Orn. Maybe a little bit older. Just a little bit.
Mm-hmm. It's not hard to be older than Orn.
Yeah, like if Orn is 8, then this kid is 8.5.
Yeah, I think I can chop through that if they hold very still.
He said, which one? The stock or with the chain? The boy says, no, it's your sword isn't going to be able to cut through this. This is some serious arcane magic here.
I can hit very strong.
Over in the corner, Keeley says to Rangvald, do you know who that is? That's St. Nicholas.
I thought it might be.
Hmm? No, it's not. It's a little kid.
I am Saint Nicholas, living Saint of Odin. Everything you see around you was once part of my dominion. Now, however, I am nothing.
Aw, Nick, you look so different. You look like a kid. Don't worry, I'll still protect
Biddle,
you.
You should have fleed while you had the chance, Biddle.
No, I had to protect all these kids, and we found them. So now I can protect them again. Just like you told me to.
You are a good bear, Biddle.
Thanks.
St. Nicholas, I promise you, we will free you from these stocks and restore your rightful power and your domain.
I would like to think that this is something that could be done, my boy, but I'm afraid not. Come a little closer. You are Rangvald, correct?
Yes. Yes.
I remember. I brought you your first eye patch for Yuletide almost 40 years ago.
Yes, then you know that we are not just mere boys and girls.
Yeah, Budson says, it's like I said before, it's actually very obvious. Now, could one of you please get me out of these chains?
Oh, sure. I wish to smash the chains.
Okay, you smash the chains.
Okay, does it work?
I'm fully confident in your ability to smash mundane chains.
I have improved thunder.
Then I am triply confident in your ability to smash.
All right, so let's smash some chains and get some kids free. All also, right. also Bunsen.
You smash some chains and get the kids and Bunsen free. Todrick starts and Asarin pull out their they grab some like bobby pins in the room or whatever. They start trying to get the shackles actually off. St. Nicholas lets you try, but like when you slam it with the sword, it reverberates and like actually hurts your elbows, Param.
Oh goodness.
Like it's some heavy duty stuff.
That just makes me want to smash again.
He says the Krampus Coven have enchanted this stock with a special arcane lock that renders it completely immune to damage.
I'm not gonna stop till like maybe five more smashes.
Alright, you do five more. also in the corner between Todrick and Asarin, there is a small birdcage that has a gold egg in it.
Oh, the dragon. Maybe.
Todrick shakes his head and he's like, when they brought him in, he tried to fight them because he was like way stronger than us or Budson, and they did something to him and it turned him into an egg. And so none of us have really tried to leave here because I don't want to be an egg. And Asarin's like, you wouldn't be an egg, you'd be a baby. And Todrick's like, I don't know how I was born, reminding that he's got he's got like a protein bloodline thing going on.
That's true.
Okay. So one of you all should sit on the egg until we get our dragon again.
Todrick's like, but what if I break it?
Okay,
Dad says that I've been eating too many sweets.
Okay, don't do that. Biddle, you sit on the egg. You don't weigh enough.
What?
I think you are very soft.
That's true. Okay.
And warm. You have very warm hugs.
All right, she will sit on the egg.
Do we have a dragon yet?
It still feels like an egg under my butt.
Okay, 10 more minutes, then we'll have a dragon.
Okay.
Do we have a dragon yet?
So St. Nicholas says the Rangvald, since he mentioned. St. Nicholas sighs melancholy as before he answers the question of how to get him out. It will not be easy. Impossible, even. The chains that bind me here prevent me from accessing any of Odin's power, and without my Crook of Crindle, the Crindle Works is no longer my domain. What's worse, those dastardly witches split my Crook amongst their most powerful minions to ensure that I wouldn't be able to reclaim it. The Crook's base is in the possession of our jailer, the Oogie Boogie Man. Its middle is being held by a dastardly vagrant that calls itself Killjoy, and its head was buried into the brow of an ice golem that the Krampus Coven created. If you could assemble these three pieces, I could use the Crook to free myself from the stockade, in theory, but without the final piece, the Silver Bell of Crindle, I cannot save us from this nightmare. Reclaiming the bell, however, might be the most impossible task of all, as it is in the clutches of Krampus's most powerful minion, its shade.
Its most powerful minion is its own shadow?
Uh-huh. I haven't seen it since its creation, only heard the jeering boast of the Krampus Coven, and sensed its ominous presence within these halls. If it were anywhere, I'd imagine it would have claimed my own personal dwellings as its lair. Krampus is a being of conquest that adores ironically humiliating its foes, and I can imagine no better place for such vile taste than there.
Say, Nick,
yes?
We've already begun this journey. We've killed the Oogie Boogie Man.
Good.
And others, but... You'll have to collect your staff back.
If you can bring it here, I can use it to break these bonds, and we can hopefully get out of here. But my instincts tell me that to free ourselves, we will have to destroy the shade.
We didn't find a piece of a Crook, did we?
I didn't really look. We could look through his guts, or maybe he buried it in the worm garden.
Yeah, we smashed the worm thing good.
Yeah.
You do remember hitting up against something that kind of felt like a long piece of metal or like wood or something, but you were so specifically intent on only smushing the worms that I didn't bother to tell you about it. But now that they're talking about it, you're makes pretty sense. Sure you found it in the worm pile.
I'd like run back dirt. Upstairs and get it, but I have to sit on this egg now, I guess.
I'll get it. It's going to be covered in worm guts anyway.
Yeah. When you get up there, in the middle of the swarm is this wooden pike. It looks like it's the lower shaft of the Crook of Crindle.
Okay. Well, I'll come back and bring it back.
He says, good, good. You found one of the pieces already, but the others will not be so easy to find. You'll have to figure out where you can find his last remaining lieutenants to reconfigure them.
There was nothing easy about smashing those worms.
Yeah.
I believe it. The Oogie Boogies are a product of terrible necromantic magic. You wouldn't believe how many of my servants they sacrificed to make that terrible monstrosity.
That's it.
Very. That brings us to the end of this episode of Season's Beatings, a Yuletide Terror actual play podcast. From the cast here at Season's Beatings, harrowing holidays to all, and to all a good fright. If you're interested in reading or running the adventure we're playing, Yuletide Terror, you can find the perfect place to pick up your own copy at everymangaming.com/Yuletide-terror. This actual play podcast wouldn't have been possible without the hard work of four outstanding artists, Jacob Blackman, Liz Quartz, Eric Frankhaus, and Mew. Jacob Blackman is a lightning-fast illustrator who drew all of the art in both Yuletide Terror and for all the tokens that viewers of the actual play video have been seeing. Jacob is always taking commissions, so shoot him an email at commissionprodigyduck.com. Liz Quartz is a stellar illustrator, cartographer, and coding genius who created all of the battle mats for the Yuletide Terror adventure. She takes commissions for hand-drawn character illustrations, cartographic work, and nifty bits of physical artwork, which you can commission through her Facebook page at facebook.com/RPGGeek. Eric Frankhaus is a fantastic illustrator, cartographer, and world-building consultant. He drew the Holly Glen map that you saw in episode 1 of Season's Beatings, which is also featured in the Yuletide Terror adventure. Eric does phenomenal work, and I can't recommend checking him out at ericfrankhaus.artstation.com enough. That's Eric with a K, mind you. The entire cast wants to extend a special thank you to Mew of YouTube fame. Mew is a dark music artist, and all of the spooky sounds you've heard throughout Season's Beatings are used with their blessing. If you like the music in Season's Beatings, maybe you want to go and use some of it for your own campaigns, then please go check out Mew's YouTube page at youtube.com/MewG. That's M-Y-U-U-J-I.